Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
It's just a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Welcome to Gen Exhausted. I'm Chris.
I'm Rich.
I'm Jess.
Donald Trump is still a free man. For now, as of us recording this, because we've been burned in the past.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the 21st, right? And then today, and then there was like some putting off of the Sessions Court meeting, and now it'll be tomorrow at the earliest.
So, okay. So, like, he just got to bug up his ass over the weekend and was like, they're arresting me on Tuesday.
I have no idea. I really don't know. I don't, okay.
This is his first weekend back on Facebook. He had to be in a big way. Like, what?
I can't figure out the game here. I have thought about it. I've reflected on it. I have meditated. I'm out of. Maybe y'all can shine some light. He says he's going to be arrested. They don't usually tell you if you're going to be arrested on a certain day.
Like, and I know. I think if you get to a certain level of society, they do. I mean, there's a whole Chappelle Show skit about it.
Okay, just real quick to that point. I was watching Breaking Points, and it was their Counterpoints segment, whatever. And they were talking about basically the best they can suss out at when they recorded it, at least, which I guess was late last night, early this morning, when they recorded that segment. They were like, these are Trump's sources that told him this. Take from that what you will. Because, and I'm thinking this, if this is supposed to be grand jury shit's supposed to be sealed. If someone's leaking, that's serious shit. So, I mean, like, is this just like loose lips lawyer talk or what? I think
there's something to it, because the guy who was heading up the whole thing made a bunch of statements over the weekend, and none of them were not arresting Donald Trump. It was more like, our office won't be intimidated and this and that. He never outright said we're not arresting him. So, I mean, take that for what it is.
And as far as why would Trump come out and say that, to me, it's obvious. He's a gambler. He's forcing them to show their hand. Either shit or get off the pot. It's taking the fight to them. If I'm going to fight you, we're starting this war off on my terms. Come get me.
Okay, and I can be fine. Like, that's fine. I can see the strategy behind that. If he had, you know, some sort of inside information that was credible, totally see your point. What I don't understand is that we all lived through January 6th. We talk about January 6th all the time. And he's going to take to Truth Social and call people to protest. He's going to put that down in writing now to go protest, take our country back. What's the play there?
Well, he didn't give direction. He's not doing anything people during the summer of 2020 did on for coming from the opposite side.
That's a hell of a. He didn't give direction. He ain't gonna die in prison, because he ain't ever gonna see the inside of a fucking prison cell for real. So I mean, like, he's gonna be all right. So I guess he's got enough money. He can be like that. But I'm not gonna risk my freedom on that. I'm not gonna post some shit like that if I'm Joe Blow Six Pack. And they're gonna be. I mean, well, people said it during the summer love. And that doesn't fly in court, dude.
But I'd argue the statement. Violence is the language of the unheard implies a lot more than protest, or what was his words? As I was telling my nephew about this, Donald Trump is really good at walking up to the line, like knowing what he can and can't say. Like, you know, remember the quote unquote perfect phone call?
No, I got you. He can play that game, and I think he's got enough fucking cockswagger to fucking try to play that game. With his, especially, like, he's got money to get, like, the best justice money can buy, a.k.a. lawyers that'll take him.
Well, I also say, used to be the president probably also helps you out a lot, too, no matter what side of the aisle you're from.
Well, that's even his detractors on the Breaking Points segment I watched were like, do we really need to go through the point of a mugshot? You know that's just political theater. We all know what he looks like. Is he really that much of a flight risk? He's one of the most popular human beings on this planet.
Oh, if there's a mugshot, I guarantee you the t-shirt would be bigger with people on the right than it will be on the left.
Oh, fuck yeah. How many musicians studios, bedrooms, whatever houses have you been in and seen a mugshot of a famous musician somewhere, like in a poster in a wall or something like that, a t-shirt, something. Fuck yeah. You become an outlaw at that point. And the true believer maggots, oh, they are all there, man. They are all in. Like, I was watching some of them, and I'm like,
he'll be Donnie Williams Jr. if he fucking gets arrested.
So, his first truth that he put out was, our nation is now third world and dying. The American dream is dead. The radical left anarchists have stolen our presidential election and with it the heart of our country. American patriots are being arrested and held in captivity like animals while criminals and leftist thugs are allowed to roam the streets, killing and burning with no retribution. Millions are flooding through our open borders, many from prisons and mental institutions. Crime and inflation are destroying our very way of life. Now illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan district attorney's office, which has been allowed new records to be set in violent crimes and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven and based on old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors, fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back.
Yeah, so it's protest taker. He didn't instruct violence. I mean, I'm just.
Violence at January 6th either.
Well, that's it. I'm playing. Hey, we all love the semantics game. And that's. Yeah. And I'd say that about January 6th too. He did. It's the Rorschach test, right? Like, that statement is whatever you want to hear.
Yeah. But it also. And
also, by the way, with that truth or whatever, I feel like if there's a right wing conspiracy bingo card, like, we got a bingo. Like, he nailed, like, a lot of things in that truth or whatever you're supposed to call it.
I mean, let's just do this first of all. How much of that is admissible in court? Okay, nothing. All right, moving on. That's how the legal system's going to look at it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how upset anybody gets. You can get pissed off all you want. Judges don't give a fuck.
Man,
none of that matters
intent.
To nobody. Yeah. Like, all that George Soros-funded leadership, leaks from the inside. Do you have proof? Have you submitted it? You haven't. What do you have? You have a Truth Social post.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I just checked every law book I've ever fucking read. No, that's not in there. I mean, and here's the thing. He knows that. He's playing win the game in the public eye. Sway the public.
Yeah, that's how you win the election. He's playing for 2024.
But there was also nothing illegal about what he said on January 6th, and we've been wasting how many government tax dollars?
We all know that.
But, like, and that also leaves open so much. Like, I tend to talk about the far left the same way the far left talks about the far right, and I get that. They both extreme groups, like, are shit, right? It's ridiculous, and they both act ridiculous. But it leaves a lot open for someone on the far left to go buy themselves their first MAGA hat and go do some crazy shit in the name of Donald Trump. He told us to go protest.
Yeah, but that's been happening all your life. You just haven't heard about it.
Okay.
There was literally a chick who tried to... Go ahead.
Trump knows about that, too. He knows it. He knows what he's opening himself up for.
I guess my thing is that... It's Trump. He's unhinged. He's probably a therapist wet dream. You can make a career off of fucking putting him in a rubber room and studying him. Okay? What did you expect? This man is not going to act in the country's best interest. He's going to act in the best interest of what he feels is his own best interest. That's all he's ever acted in. If that happened to coincide with the wishes and desires of people who wanted to vote for him, so fucking be it. But he wasn't going to change for them. I mean, this is not... I know he wants to put himself as some sort of freedom fighter, but if you go out and get arrested over Donald Trump getting arrested, you're a fucking idiot and you deserve what you get. This is not your battle. This is a setup, period. It's how it feels. This is like daring you. It's what is the old Bill Hicks thing? We're like the sheep herder and Shane throwing a gun, or like the gunslinger, the outlaw and Shane throwing the gun at the sheep herder's feet. Pick it up. Daring him, and he picked it up. Okay, that's not your fight. And I mean, that's what. Stop putting all your faith in these fucking demigods. They're not fucking here to help you. They're politicians. They're human beings. I don't understand. Like, what is the shock about what Trump is doing? Trump is doing what Trump has always done. This is totally on brand. Chris, am I wrong or am I just fucking, am I crazy? If I'm crazy, call me crazy and then make your argument.
No, dude, I'm with you. I feel like I've been screaming, like, when Trump acts crazy, why are you surprised?
I don't understand it. I'm not putting him in a demigod category. I don't think Trump is coming to save me. I don't think anything, but I do think that there has to be a play there. No one can be that dumb. Yeah,
for next year. That's the play.
But do you understand that he thinks he's making a play that he's convinced is foolproof? And yeah. I mean, like, what is Trump's barrier of proof? It's not that it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, you just keep enough people around and you take the fall for you and you just move on unscathed. That's what he does.
I mean, he's sitting here 3 years later talking about the election was like, he's just like, there's so many people around him going, dude, you lost. It's over. Like, no, this does not surprise me. Like, he reminds me of a fucking, like, little kid who doesn't get what they want. So he's just gonna sit there and stomp and hold his breath and fucking throw a fucking conniption until he fucking gets what he wants.
And this is, to put this into perspective, you go back and you really read what started a lot of wars in history. It's the transfer of power. Like, the fact that we've had a relatively peaceful transfer of power for as long as we have in this country is a minor miracle.
And for all the hand-wringing, he still left. I remember, what was the big thing? Oh, he's not going to leave. They were going to have to escort him out, right? They were ready to arrest him if they had to. The military was on standby. He still left. Like, that's another thing. Haven't we learned from how many years we've been dealing with this clown that he's a lot of bark and no bite?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I'm sure his parting gift was like a turd in a box, you know, unlike whatever Obama gave him, but, you know, whatever.
I guess I just had... If this is what 2024 is going to bring,
the fact that 2024 is going to be the same one as 4 years ago. We haven't found anybody better on either side.
There's plenty of people better on both sides. It's just the establishment doesn't want them in.
We can't find anything better than 2 80-year-olds.
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, man, it seems like once a candidate or a politician has convinced the right people at the head of their political committees that they're the one, those people will push for that person. Because how many fucking elections did Nixon run for president?
Like three?
He ran against Kennedy in 60. He won in 68. He won in 72. Yeah. That's a hell of a that's a 12-year gap between his first run for president and being the candidate. You know what I'm saying? Say, look at Hillary from modern times.
Is that why Bob Dole ran 9,000 times? Like, they just had...
Yeah.
They got Nixon up, is on their whiteboard. Like, Dick did it. Just keep doing it. You eventually win.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like that. It feels like it's on like a, you know, what, three election, you know, national 4-year cycle. So, what, 12-year cycle? Like, after 12 years, like, you get three bites at the apple, man. You don't get it. Sorry. We got to replace you.
Yeah, wasn't that Hillary's, was that her second or third bite in 2016?
8-16. No, that was only her second run.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because she did all of her New York bullshit so she could run in 08. That's right.
And I just keep going back to, you just have to understand that people like Trump, they don't think like us because they don't their world isn't like our world. They might as well live on the dark side of the moon compared to us. So they don't think about shit like, why would they do this? It makes no sense. It makes sense to them for whatever reason, whether it's because they're surrounded by spineless yes men and women, or they're playing... I highly doubt it, but maybe Trump really is playing 4D chess. And you know what? I'm man enough to where I've taken an ass whoop and looked at the guy who knocked me on my fucking ass and went, you won. That's the case. I'll tip my hat. Hey, good job, dude. You had everyone convinced you were functionally retarded. Good job. And you somehow came out on top. So I don't know. That's just Trump. That's just how he is. And that's just those type of people. Think of how politicians react anytime there's anything like their personal life is in the news. What was it? Shit. I don't even bother to fucking remember names anymore. Who's the politician whose husband got jacked upside the head by a dude with a hammer?
Pelosi.
Thank you, Pelosi. And I'm just like, seriously? And then he's out like, what was it? a month, not even, maybe like maybe 5 weeks later at some public event, and he's got like a beanie on, he's got like one hand covered up because it's all fucked up and all this shit and all the surgery done his head. They're just like, oh, look at that. Yes, it's brave after that. And I'm like, whoa, back the fuck up. Who shows up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and you let them in your house while you're standing there in your underwear and they got it and they're holding a fucking hammer? Like, can we get that story, please?
Well, I mean,
But to them, you know what? It's no big deal. Look over here. They're banning books. Oh, my God. Look over here. People want you to use stupid pronouns. Oh, my God. Don't pay attention to any of this shit.
Well, to be fair, Paul Pelosi's story, because it wasn't sexy, the body cam footage came out, and then it turned out it was pretty much the guy wasn't B. It was a B&E. Like, because the body cam footage came out, and, like, Paul Pelosi looked like he was essentially, like, in a hostage situation and all that shit, and the altercation was on, like... Yeah, it's.
I understand, but at the same time, bro, how the fuck did you get in the front door? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we went over, we talked about that on the show.
No, he didn't get in the front. He broke in. Like, the body cam is when the police show up. Like, the guy was already in the house.
Yeah, but it was, he had broken through the back door and the glass was broken on the outside. Remember?
That was never proven.
We saw it with our eyeballs. It doesn't have to be proven to see something with your eyeballs.
What, that the glass is on the outside?
When the cops show up, anyways, okay, good. Point is, that's still fucking insane, and it was just completely glossed over. Who the fuck remembers it but us talking about it right now? Who the fuck is talking about it? Who is asking any follow-up questions in that situation? Hey, well, here's body cam footage. Oh, okay, that's good enough. Really? Really? Okay. Sure. Yeah, how many times have we said on this podcast alone? How many millions of dollars? How many years have we been fucking chasing after that fucking elusive fucking Trump smoking gun? How many years did they do that with Clinton? And what did they finally get him on? A blowjob.
Which is ironic because allegedly they might finally get Trump on fucking a porn star.
I mean, I'm just...
I thought, and you got older, you finally got peace. I thought your dick settled down.
Oh, man, no. Fucking Viagra and these dudes never settle down.
Well, yeah, Viagra, but these are the dudes Viagra don't bring testosterone back. It just makes your, you know, blood flow better.
Oh, no, you get, like, I forget, you don't listen to Joe Rogan. Like, you get testosterone in, like, therapy, a.k.a., I guess, steroids.
Well, no, like, Drew used to get testosterone.
That's just because he's trying to keep hold of what little hair he had.
Yeah, left. He called it globbing up. Dude, I just want some peace.
Right? Same.
No, to be brutally honest with you, I don't know how these people who do this shit, like when I don't care politicians or not, but you just hear stories, like especially old Hollywood stories, now that people have been dead and their grandkids are even dead, people tell the truth and it's like, oh yeah, they were whoring well into their 70s and 80s. Like, dude was having kids like 2 weeks before he dropped dead of a heart attack at 82. And it's like, what the fuck, man? Dude, I don't have the energy. I barely have the energy to get up in the morning. What the fuck? We're 82 and you're still dropping hot ones? Really? No. So, yeah.
I just once wake up without a boner. Just one time. Just once. Does it ever stop?
I mean, I got to say, but especially if this was 100 years ago, pre-Viagra, congratulations, man, I guess. But how useful is that thing with your age group? Sorry. Anyways, let's move on. So, okay, now here's something about Trump I want to ask, okay? This is what Chris and I were talking about when you joined the call before we started recording here.
Okay.
What exactly is everything that they're talking about charging Trump with? What have you heard?
I heard that it was about the $130,000 of hush money to Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And now I heard a blip that I did not research more. About something about him lying to his lawyers about the classified documents that he took from the White House.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Unprompted. Gave you both the things.
That's all.
I mean, if here's the thing, if you're listening, you're like, that's set up. Cool. We're not going to get into it. Wasn't. I was just wanting to know because I'd started to hear that right before the show, the whole Mar-a-Lago connection, whatever. And then I heard, like, well, it was a, let's just put it this way. It was not a source I'm comfortable quoting on the air. That's how unreliable I believe the source to be. But they were talking about how apparently Daddy D was down in Florida saying, hey, look, if they come to get him and extradite him and they seize his property, that's between him and federal government. And just like all, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, whoa. And then it's like, boom, we go on. And I'm like, all right, I don't know what the fuck is going on now. Is this like whole thing just a chance to get onto his property and get a fucking like deep search in there again?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. Didn't they get a thorough look the first time? What do you hope to find the second time? Like, bitch, how many times you got to go through my phone before I convince you I'm not fucking anybody besides your ugly ass?
It's like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
after like the ninth thing, are we done trying to like, he's either not as dirty as you think he is, or he's really good at not getting caught. Like,
yeah, start looking in different places.
Or stop wasting resources on this. We got other shit to worry about.
I mean, seriously, how much do you think it costs for a federal agent to go out there and start turning rocks over and looking under fucking shit?
Tens of thousands of dollars, and that's being conservative.
And we're doing it multiple times?
I don't... None of it makes any sense. Is it just a witch hunt?
I think a lot of it is. I think we need to start fucking accepting. When I say we, I mean like us plebs, us small folk, okay? That we ain't lucky enough to be with them in the fucking in the cloud cities there. Folk, we just need to start accepting that these people are petty, and they're just as petty as your shittiest ass family members at Thanksgiving and every other fucking family holiday. Somehow they got power and money, though. And here's the deal. Why would you think any different when you take a look at the cross-section of humanity that you've dealt with your entire life and see that, well, yeah, pettiness, greed, just basically being a horrible human being, That really transcends everything besides being a human being. That's just part of being a human being.
How many TV shows are there about it? Succession, Yellowstone, Sons of Anarchy. It's the same show, different skin.
If you really want to break it down, skin color, I don't even think is in the top fucking three of what we need to be worried about. I think The Wire puts it better. When Omar's on the stand and the drug lawyer's sitting there cross-examining him, and he's like, so you use a weapon to rob drug dealers? And he goes, yep. And you show no remorse about it? And he goes, yep. Because you're amoral. You feed on the sick and ills of society. And he goes, just like you, man. Goes, well, what'd you say? He goes, just like you. I got the shotgun. I robbed the drug dealer. You got the briefcase. You robbed the drug dealer. It's all in the game now, huh?
Yeah. One guy finesses it. One guy just fucking takes it.
Pretty much. So I...
Oh, speaking of the same color, Empire. Same show.
But I mean, I think a lot of it is that shit. I think Trump fucked with people's money and plans. And I think the businessmen are pissed about the money, and the egomaniacs with delusions of grandeur fucking are very pissed that their plans were fucked with.
Trump was a market disruptor for politics. Trump was the Amazon of politics.
I want my free overnight shipping, then. What the fuck, right?
That suits him pretty well, actually. I don't know. I don't... Sorry, I'm malfunctioning over here, apparently. What the theory is, then, is that there were supposed to be... Then I've heard y'all say this before, but just for clarification, for anyone new who might be listening today, is that there were other people who were up in line for the presidential run, and Trump stepped in and got put in, and therefore it messed everything up, like pissed off too many people, right?
I don't think Trump got put in. I think Trump butted his way in.
Yeah, like elected in. I don't mean put in.
Oh, yeah. No. Basically, but what you described is also what happened with Obama in regards to Hillary. And Hillary was told, look, Obama's got it 2008 on lock. If he loses in 2012, 2016's yours. But 2016's yours anyways. Do you want to come off a two-time incumbent president? The first black president? Right into the first female president? And we did a show with a co-host who was like, that's why she'll win. People will vote for her because it's historical, just like they voted for Obama. Really? President Cheeto has something to say about that.
So why don't we all just like... I don't know. Maybe just leave the elections alone and let the people decide. Maybe stop promising the shit. Maybe use this as a hard reset because things aren't going well. The curtain's pulling back a little bit. People are seeing behind the scenes. Assuming you're correct, obviously, which I don't think that you're wrong. I think that absolutely is the upset and why they've been pitching the biggest fit that I've ever witnessed personally about anyone getting elected. Like, they're still pitching a fit about it, and he's not a president anymore. People are still mad that he got elected.
It's like almost one election. It's almost the next election cycle after. Yeah. Like,
listen. Chris and I are old enough to where we were and at least aware enough of politics without maybe even being involved or even really paying much of attention, but to have seen the changeover in the parties at least twice now, like the leadership changeover in both parties. And you got to look at it like this. It's just like a changeover leadership at a corporation. When new leadership comes in, they want to bring in all their own people. Okay. So there are people that are like, here is the plan. We're going to buy this. We're going to let everyone go or buy them out, whatever. We're going to install our own people. Now, here comes Trump in with the Yokozuna splash off the top rope out of nowhere and just fucking ba-doom right in the middle of the motherfucker and goes, nope, we're doing everything my way. That's metaphorically what he did. These are not people who like the trains to not run on time because it affects their money.
I mean...
I know that's like, wow, that's really reductionist. What drives most people in this world? Pussy, power, money.
Yeah.
PPM.
Yeah, it's like,
you can swap out.
It could be for pussy or penis.
Yes, yeah, in 2023, pussy. You swap out pussy for penis. There's been a lot more abusive power stories involving the ladies lately. So, yeah, you're getting yours too.
Way to go, girls. Way to step up.
Woo. Just taking the dick or you're fired.
Oh, no. I'm just talking about just being the scumbags you were born to be, not hide behind your self-righteous bullshit no more. That's right. Let that mask come off and just be the most horrible version of you can.
Well, it's just like we talk about with money, right? At a certain level, shit doesn't matter. Same thing with power. At a certain level, your gender don't matter. You just become a fucking... it's all about power. Don't matter if you got a wee-wee or a... vajayjay.
Well,
I mean, Jess, can I ask a question? I mean, I don't want to fucking, like, I don't want to put you on the couch and be like, so, you know, and do the Sigmund Freud thing on you or anything like that. But I mean, like, is it you're having a hard time wrapping your mind around, like, wow, these people are retarded and I just didn't realize how stupid these people were? Or is it like you had faith in them and it's like your faith is a little bit shaken? Or is it you're just like, nah, I mean, I see what you guys are saying, but I just think you're both full of shit.
I think it's been a lot for me to digest in the last 7 years, just with Trump getting in. And, you know, I mean, I've always kind of followed politics, but I'm still in my late 20s. So, you know, it hadn't been that long that I've been able to vote. So, but on a serious note, I'm trying to find my words for this. I have never assumed that all elections were done completely, like, perfect, pristine, and by the book.
Hey, no, 2020 was the most secure election we've ever had.
Right.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. If they'd never said that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just convinced so many people it's rigged right there.
Yes. Yeah.
And these are people who are obsessed with optics.
I have not seen politics, I guess, long enough or have a long enough history of following politics to where I have seen such tantrum throwing over someone who was elected. I did not vote for Obama. I did not like Obama personally. And I know that makes me a racist and probably a sexist. And if you could find another
transphobe.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute.
That's when Michelle comes out like in the Michelle has prostate cancer. What?
Careful, they'll Joan Rivers you.
I voted for Obama the first time. I was still in my 20s. You know, I was still young and idealistic, kind of.
Oh, 2008? Jess, here you go. I was totally on the Obama. I was all about I was hope and change just bursting out of me.
For me, it was more like,
ejaculating hope and change.
For me, it was like, white guys have been fucking it up for 200 plus years. Let's give a black guy a shot.
You know what it was for me? He's the Gen X president. He's more like one of us than one of them. No, he's not. He's a fucking boomer. He's literally a baby boomer. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck off, dude. You know, I fell for that. And that was like the last thing. Because like race at that point, I was like, no, fuck that. I've been around enough people of all races and seen good and horrible in everybody. We're just shitty people. Humans are shit for the most part, unless they have a reason not to be. That's my experience. Hi, I'm available for children's parties and uplifting talks to cancer patients. It worked wonders for my mother. Damn, that's cold.
And 2028 proved I was right that we were definitely more misogynist than racist during the primaries. I was like, oh, yeah, he'll win, she won't. They're like, why? I'm like, because even down south, be like, well, at least he's a man. Like, and I was right.
He may be black, but we don't need to put him in the bleeding shack.
I'm voting for no woman.
I don't need to push no raw meat up under there with no pointy stick or nothing. So
what? She gonna drop the bomb 2 weeks a month or 1 week or?
Oh God! If she guaranteed that, I'd have forged 5 million votes to get her in. If she'd have guaranteed second week of your fucking, it's all over. Everyone, you're welcome. It's all over the first time she gets a menstrual cramp. It's all over. Let Mother Nature take it back.
But no, I didn't
the
like
in the grave of the world. Sorry, Jess. Transition into what you're sitting to say now.
I was just a continuation. I didn't like Obama. I didn't vote for Obama. I know a lot of people, especially his second run, that did not want Obama to win. People were pissed. And then when he won, everyone went, well, shit. And then we all moved on and said, we'll try again in 4 more years. Like, I have not seen people this mad and pitching such a big fit. And it's just, it raises red flags. Like, it raises a lot of suspicion for me about what the hell.
Okay, hold on. Teabaggers. Between 2008 and what was it? 2008 to what was it? 2012?
You would say, like, was there prime? Take your country back! Oh my God, yes. However, that went away, right? Like,
yeah. Well, see, the thing was, is the teabaggers were like the boomers, like the real boomers, and they were just upset.
I remember going and from upset who? Boomers
go out and protest, and then their back starts to hurt, and they go home.
I remember from who? Who has our country? We all walk around doing whatever the fuck we want. Like, who has the country right now?
Now, I mean, if you want to go back even earlier into the 2000s. The people that were really probably most on the mind of people in positions of authority would have been like, who were the fucking groups that were like there for, what was it, global G8 summit and all those fucking riots and shit? Do you remember all that, Chris?
Wasn't it like, yeah, but when I don't remember the name.
Machine played a fucking one of those things, man. For fuck's sake,
I don't remember their name, but I remember pretty much they were like the precursor to Antifa, right?
Yeah, they were much more of the look. You're stealing. You're like.
Oh, I just saw something about these fuckers not too long ago going, oh, yeah, I remember those idiots.
Long story short, they basically were morphed into the umbrella of the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, but just real quick, that whole Occupy Wall Street movement was a catch-all term that was just thrown out there because, like, Todd was out there. And he used to be, like, Todd, one of our old co-hosts on the old show. And he was like, you know, he was out there and he was out there with like real libertarians, not like Republicans who want to smoke weed and gay guys who want to own guns, like real libertarians all about civil liberty, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm not going to go into the fucking sales pitch. He could have sold you on it back in the day, but that's not what they are now. And that's not what people associate them with now. So that was a catch-all term. And that, When that Occupy movement basically did nothing and nothing came of it, it morphed into this social justice movement. And then 2014 and Michael Brown happened. Michael Brown, was it? Is that his name?
Yeah, Ferguson?
Yes.
By the way, J26 was the name of this group.
Okay. I mean, the thing is just these have always been there. It's just, some get reported about, some get fucking, you get told to be worried about more than others. And of course, let's be honest here, the closer in proximity this nonsense happens to you, the more people get upset by it.
But for this long,
It's kind of a sustained dull roar in this country.
This seems to have hung out a lot longer than take our country back. Like I said, he's
No. This got real divisive, real bad, real quick. I've never seen it get this bad. Like, I thought it was bad during Clinton.
Nope.
I can't imagine it was worse during fucking even Nixon.
Also, and I think I might have made this point maybe on here. I might have just talked to you, Rich, about it. But I don't think that I've ever seen another president talking about how another candidate is a threat and anyone who votes for that candidate is a threat. Like, that was whenever I started, that was real, really divisive, essentially.
Okay. That seems more of a throwback to Cold War political rhetoric. This policy will make us vulnerable to Russia and communists and insurgents and blah 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 and our way of life. I mean, like, I get what you're saying. I think it's because they're not saying their policies. They're saying this person, and because we've attached everybody's politics to them, like their identity now.
Which, by the way, that reminds me, Rich. I think I brought this up to you guys. Maybe I didn't. I read an article that was talking about a quote-unquote study. I've learned to have to start using that when I read about studies that are done. We've covered that. That there was Russian interference in the 2016 election and the 2022 midterms. Nothing about the 2020 election. But gee, what's the common thread in the 2016 and the 2022 midterms? The red team won.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Team didn't win in 2022. That was the blue wave, man. Come on now.
So,
are you actually going to deny the reality of how we all sat around and did nothing else in the summer of 2020 but hold hands and sing kumbaya?
No, I will not call it a red wave if you look at the numbers. But however, you flipping the house from blue to red, that's, I wouldn't call that a blue wave.
I just remember, like, wow, everybody's celebrating a little too much. What was it I compared it to? The Chris Rock thing from, it's like the OJ verdict. He's like, black people too happy, white people too upset. I was like, yeah, Democrats too happy, Republicans too upset. Really? Guys, it's kind of a push.
It's like, you should be pissed. You had total control of all three branches of government, and you lost one of them. Well, what are you celebrating?
Just to,
if this
point,
is a war, you just lost a post.
To your point, though, like, yes, not only has the tone of the rhetoric gotten, like, much more divisive, but the targeting of the rhetoric is directly at the opponent, and it doesn't seem like there's anybody pumping the brakes anymore. Like, one of the most infamous fucking speeches, or not speeches, but appearances that John McCain had in 2008 was, he was at one of his town halls, and this old lady got him and goes, I know Barack Obama's a communist because he said so. And, you know, John McCain was like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, you are mistaken. He's never said he's a communist. No, he said it at the, and he's, no, ma'am, he didn't. I was at that debate or whatever. You know what I'm, I don't think we're to the point now where I just think, like, if someone says some shit like that and you basically look to your people, and if they just kind of shrug, like, hey, it might help us in the numbers, you let that shit ride. Let them cook. Let them go. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, if you're noticing that, yes, I'm noticing that. Yes. Other people are noticing that. The problem is that I don't know if that's just always been there, and it's just like, it's now starting to boil over. If it's always been simmering and it's just boiling over now. So that's where I kind of go, I don't know what's going on. And that's what worries me.
Yeah, I don't know either. I wish I did.
I mean, think about this. It is scary because I remember like reading about the 50s and the very early 60s and the Red Scares that went on back then. And how people were afraid to talk to their neighbors, because if you had any type of left-leaning politics in certain areas of this country, you were immediately deemed a communist. And that meant something in the 50s and 60s, especially the 50s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we in the 80s, we would hear stories about that, and we would sit there, and some people would laugh, and those are the idiots. But the rest of us were like, holy shit, that's terrifying, and that ain't that long ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, holy fuck, really? Wow. Like, something that we took for granted. Because you got to remember, when I started learning about that shit, I was, what, it was what, the 80s? Roe v. Wade. Abortion's just always been around as far as I knew, right? Here I'm hearing that people were losing their careers, being run out of the country, being threatened with being imprisoned for holding leftist views. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now we're, well, the pendulum has swung way, way too fucking far. And now it's like, oh, you can't. And we know this is very, there's no carpet. We've worn the carpet off walking back and forth on this shit. You can barely say anything anymore. If someone wants to paint you in a certain way, they're going to do it. They're going to couch and frame the conversation the way they want to get what to get you in the corner they want to paint you.
Oh yeah, if this show ever gets any notoriety, we're done. We're toast. They go through all the old shit. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, like that. Okay, the school teacher shit. There was, what is it? Let me pull that article up real quick. Great show prep, dumbass. I thought this is me being a dumbass because I honestly thought I had my tabs open. I must have closed them. Hi, how much did you pay for this podcast? Getting your money's worth right now. All right, moving on. Okay,
it's free. What do you want from us?
Students make racist deepfake video of principal broke no law. Okay. High school students that allegedly broke no laws when they created an artificially intelligent deepfake video of principal shouting racist slurs and threatening black students. Vice News reports the three high school students at Carmel High School in New York City used deepfake technology to create a video that shows the principal of nearby middle school threatening to kill black students in a highly offensive 30-second clip, which was viewed by whatever. They don't need the plug. They don't pay us. The deepfake principal makes a series of racist remarks and violent threats. Yeah, I can't read any. Well, I fucking hate black kids. I hate these effing N-word. Dude, the shit they don't even. I'm like, I don't. Mm-mm. Like, and it's not that I would quote it directly if I was in a court of law and they told me to. But I'm not in a court of law. Dude, I'm serious. I don't know if we should read that. Are you looking at what I'm looking at, Chris?
No. But I can hear
you. You need to pull it up. Like, I'm concerned about us being deplatformed on multiple platforms.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sounds serious. God, I hate using Facebook on the desktop. I have no idea what I'm doing. Bring it up on my phone.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Was this a?
It wasn't that far back. Students who made the racist. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can give a summary without saying, I mean, and tell you what he says. And if you really want, you can look up the direct quote. I mean, because it wouldn't be, he uses the N-word. Okay.
References the Klan, perhaps tells them to return to their continent of origin.
Yeah, the AI generated deep fake makes it appear he's using the N-word. Yeah, like back to Africa, I guess you could say that. And accuses them of, I mean, just...
Now it says, I'm going to bring my machine gun to school and Ronnie McNutt this bitch. Who's Ronnie McNutt?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. Look at homeboy in the picture.
Yeah, does that guy look like he would ever say this bitch after anything?
He looks like the fat dude in the Moo-Moo from fucking Demolition Man. You know what I'm saying?
He looks like Michael Douglas in Falling Down if he let himself go.
Whatever.
It looks like Drew Carey. Yeah. If Drew Carey would have kept the image he had going in the 90s.
I mean, whatever, but.
How about if Dilbert was a person?
This isn't a dude who's using that term.
Yeah.
Isn't putting shit in that phrase.
He has never said the phrase, this bitch, in his life.
Unless he was referring to his show dog.
Yeah. Or maybe his wife.
That's pretty ballsy. Man, this here bitch over here, man. That's my bitch.
All right. Damn, no, dude.
That's your bottom bitch. You just say it like that. Shit. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, it's just outlandish, ridiculous shit. Okay. And no law broken, but it's just like, this is where we're at.
This is where I'm saying Section 230's got to go. If there were precautions, wow. If there were repercussions for this shit, consequences, people fucking act right.
I mean, if the software is open sourced, meaning anyone can just use it, tinker with it, do what they will with it, there's no worry about copyright, correct? And companies can say, anything you post on our site that you've used this, if you've broken any of our terms of service, you're gone. They could do that at the minimum, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they do it every day now. If you say the wrong thing on Facebook, you get a nice 24-hour to 30-day ban.
But still waiting for YouTube to come for us, by the way. We talked a bunch of shit about them 2 weeks ago. Still nothing.
Gavin McGinnis pulled his dick out on a YouTube live stream, and it got past the algorithm. And they talk about it constantly on multiple podcasts they do on YouTube and video streams they do on YouTube for the last 2 weeks, week and a half, whatever it has been. So you can't. We definitely are slipping through cracks. But it's just that's the only thing, because immediately people want to legislate this shit. And here's my paranoia kicks in. I'm just like, do I really want the government telling us what we can and can't do with this technology? How about this? If you do something, if it's an open source technology and you do something with that software and make someone say something that's actionable in a court of law, that's on you, and you can be sued personally.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's Section 230 would put personal responsibility. It'd be like purposely putting out libel or slander. You would get in trouble. Section 230 is what shields the website and its users from any responsibility. That's what everyone always forgets.
Oh, so so once again, it goes back to the website can just, yeah, these websites can just go, no, we're not gonna, believe me, they have algorithms that catch all types of shit, and they can make it err on the side of caution. Trust. So, yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Dirty phrase that I learned in the first few months of this podcast. Personal responsibility.
I don't know how to feel about this article.
Yeah, we talked about this right here in the Weisman Podcast on ChristopherMedia.net. Like, we've brought this up on this show many times. We are opening up and starting the storyline of so many cautionary tales we've been told. And we're like, nah, whatever, bro. Science, it's cool. Which, trust me, I understand progress needs to happen. You know, especially with things, I don't know, like medicine. You know, things like that. Trust me, just understand. We can get into a whole other thing about that, but yeah, just I feel like we started cracking the lid on Pandora's box with a lot of shit, and we're just like, yeah, whatever, it's cool. And it's like, okay, like, especially with like AI, like, right, like an article I shared in the chat this week has talked about how musicians are pretty much essentially, I'm paraphrasing the article, a bunch of musicians have went, oh shit, AI's come a long way in a really short time. Let's start campaigning for real musicians, because fuck. Like, a bunch of musicians who are being, possessed the gift of foresight, which is rare for that crowd, are going, uh-oh. Because why wouldn't AI be, like, think about it. It all sound, all music is, it's the manipulation of sound frequencies, right? Definitely something you could program and have done precisely with AI. You know, and, another article I read today, it was fascinating, and it was definitely TLDR, but I fought through it because it was full of information just talking about just basically how throughout history, what caught, you know, going from the car showing up and fucking up horses and farms, essentially coming through now, and essentially when stuff like automation shows up, which is what they're getting into with AI, how AI is starting to automate a lot of the tasks where it involves your brain. Like, for a while, the industry booms where it shows up, right? Because everybody's trying to get better, and it forces competition, and everyone, and the automation forces, you know, all the marketplace to up its game. But then it plateaus, and then the jobs start going away, and then that's when the automation wins. Like, in every industry, and then they did it with cars and shit like that. You know, how the automation, how you killed the auto worker, essentially, right? Things like that. So it got into, the two points are, if your job is highly intellectual and not well regulated, your job is fucked. AI's coming for it.
I mean, you've been preaching that for a long time.
Yes. I mean, I had a momentous occasion this week for the first time in like a year. a person took my order at a fast food restaurant inside. I've been screaming that for years, but the last year I've noticed it. Taco Bell, McDonald's, most places, Panera. Your order now is taken by a touchscreen. They have now phased out the counter person. They now got the people in the back, and they're just handing you the food.
I've not come across one of those yet, like an order kiosk.
Wow. Well, I guess it's coming.
I believe you.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
If we don't live in New York, so I mean,
if I walk into a place and I walk up to the counter, I'm going to say it's 50-50 on what employees. Well, I mean, whether the first employee to make eye contact or at least look over and see me standing there will walk over, or if they'll freeze with like a deer in headlights, like, what do I do? And I'm thinking, walk over, unlock the register and say, welcome to wherever the fuck I'm at. How can I help you? But I mean, like, I guess they do. It's rare. I guess most people going in are probably picking up for apps and shit. So if they don't have an order kiosk, it's
coming. It's on order.
I don't think I've been in a McDonald's that's been built in the last 10 years that doesn't have one, or a mainstay McDonald's like that's been there for decades. That's been updated. You know what I'm saying? Like in that neighborhood, even they've started to get them. So, I mean, the question is, okay, fine, whatever. Let's not go down the rabbit hole of what are we going to do about jobs? But I mean, just on an artistic level, the question becomes, I mean, what are we willing to accept? What are we willing to not accept? And I mean, like, how do you have an AI just turn, how do you turn over writing music, writing a movie, a play, a book, whatever, just to an AI and go, there you go, go ahead and do it. I don't understand, like, what is that AI going to do? What is it? What pool of knowledge and history with music is that AI pulling from to create something?
Well, I guess the answer to your question is we don't know yet. Because if you think about it, as far as AI, if you compare it to the auto industry, we're at like the Model T of AI, right? Like this. Mm-hmm. So my answer to you is, who the fuck knows? Like, is this going to be like Les Claypool and a robot fucking battling? Like, that's what I want to see. Like, having a I'd pay to see that shit. Les Claypool versus AI. Who's better?
I guess, man. To me, once again, it's a race to the bottom. It becomes the lowest common denominator. Well, you're taking the best of the best out, and you're automatically saying, we're just going to go with this because this is easier.
Well, It strangely enough, that article already made the comparison with music, and it did it with live recordings or with recordings, right? And it was talking about before recordings and radio, and then it got into radio as well. But before recordings and radio, if you wanted to hear music, you had to go out. You had to leave your house. You had to go to a theater or a club and see music performed. But once recordings came out, you now could get the record, what you just said, then it was only the best of the best, right? Instead of, and it got into how many, like, you know, how many vaudeville theaters. It went from like 55,000 to like 4,000 in like 10 years because of the recording. And then once radio started, like, kind of the same shit, like, it's just.
But have we really evolved to where we're putting out the best of the best? Because I'm going to go ahead and just say this: by any metric that I've ever seen, we're not producing as a culture. We're not producing pop culture at a higher level than, like, especially music, than ever before.
Well, we could argue right now, then we're in that plateau stage, right? Where the automation, right? Because right, the last great period of music. Oh my God. Thinking about it, right? It was the people in tape fighting the computers coming in, right? Think about it, like the turn of the century before when Pro Tools came in and swept and killed the fucking reel to reel, right? You know, the musicians were up in their game, and it was the people who were arguing versus. I remember seeing dudes on MTV arguing about digital recording, talking about it means you can't play, you know, shit like that, right? So it was. The product was getting better because automation was forcing it. And then now, right, maybe we're in the plateau stage where, like, you know, all the product being put out is the same because no one's up in their game because the technology and the people have kind of plateaued. So maybe AI is the next, maybe it'll bring music to like some kind of crazy new level before the robots fucking take it over completely.
I mean, sure. Why not? I don't know. I have no idea, dude, because I'm just sitting here thinking, like, there's always going to be, because even right now, as we sit here right now, there are, I mean, they're getting fewer and fewer, but there are classical symphonies out there performing. There are very, 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 like subcategory of a subcategory, you know, artists and musicians, writers, filmmakers who can eke out a living doing what they're doing. My concern is when you take the human element out, is that there's everything just becomes what is most efficient,
right?
And what is most efficient for a machine is not what's most efficient for a human. Humans can't even agree on what's most efficient for humans. Why are we introducing a second party into this conversation that we're arguing amongst ourselves about? I mean, that's my concern. But
the robot will be woodshedding while we're all arguing.
Well, dude, it goes back, like I said, it goes back to the people who are really into the idea of the digital, like being able to download their consciousness and into a metal body and essentially live forever. That's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they're like, yeah, push the technology. Yeah, because my ass ain't getting any younger. And it's like, you dumb motherfucker. Even if that shit is discovered today, you bitch, you are never going to sniff enough money to afford that.
Plus, dude, let's think about
you. You stupid cocksucker. What the fuck?
Thinking about year 150, you'd be like, oh, all right. Okay, seen enough. I'm 157 years old. Can you unplug me, please?
Donald Trump III's running against fucking Johanna Biden the 15th or some shit. I don't fucking know.
President Hunter.
I just look, I've seen AI created art online and it's in its infancy, but you can almost spot it instantaneously outside of the fact that they seem to think AI art seems to think humans have like anywhere between 6 total fingers on both hands to like 20 on both hands. And it's crazy. Same thing with like feet and toes and shit. But I mean, they all have a certain look and it's kind of creepy, but like the last 6 months, I've started to see these, like, I guess, free AI fucking apps being released and people post the you know, here's my AI art. And I'm like, wow, it's starting to look better in 6 months. The AI is learning. It's starting to get hands and feet and the number of limbs right. There's still some of that, like, ooh. What's scary? I don't know what's more scary. When you see a piece of AI art that has that dead 1,000-yard stare, or the piece of AI art where its eyes follow. Either one's kind of unnerving. Because think about it this way. An artist is looking at the art from the perspective of a human. An AI, how did you create something that has that unnerving stare that humans get, or a picture that's eyes appear to follow you? How did that know to do that? That's what the shit that fucks with my head. That's the can of worms I don't want to open, especially so some fucking sci-fi nerd in his 50s and his dick's starting to not work and his hair's starting to fall out. I want to live forever. No, thank you. Die like the rest of us.
Well, too rich, just think about this, man. Just to call back on my own conversation. Just think about it. Just go 20 years ago, sitting in a recording studio, 2003. We're like a couple years into the Pro Tools revolution. You still had people going, oh, tape will always sound better. We're fast forward 20 years to right now. You still even get tape?
I think the pretense of, well, I mean, dude, tape? Studio? Dude, you know. Studio fucking tapes and cassette tapes, world of difference. I mean, in quality.
No, absolutely. But I'm just saying, can you still, like, I know motherfuckers, I know in the film industry, if you're trying to get film, like, they're like, why are you trying to order film for? What's wrong with you?
Okay, this is just because I'm a film fucking geek. That is because usually older filmmakers or filmmakers who definitely hold to that kind of old school auteur style, they work with film because they know how they can get it to do what they want it to do. It's kind of like giving someone who's always played through 2 Marshall stacks on 10 live, giving them like a line 6 going, go ahead. It's going to sound just the same to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. You're always going to have
digital versus analog. Digital, I know digital color grading is different. When you shoot digital, you have to take into account different things when you shoot on analog. And I mean, like, that's an artistic choice. That's like, to me, that's like having a good artist isn't afraid to pull from either side, depending on what the project requires, right? I don't want the choices taken away. AI seems like it feels like we're going to take away these choices just because they're not efficient. We're going to lose a chunk of art because a machine fucking thought it's a good idea. Yeah, I got a problem with that, dude. I guess I'm machinophobic.
Man, it's hard. It took a couple searches to find audio tape that I could buy it. Not like cassettes, like reel-to-reel tape. I mean, shocking. Oh. Amazon's your best bet.
Isn't Amazon just the world's storefront? They just do the, like, yeah, we know. We go to all the corners of the internet that you can't or won't go to.
Right.
We got it all here.
Yeah, we've met in the back alleys. We've done the deals.
It's not black market. It's gray market shit.
And it'll be on your doorstep by 4 a.m. Yeah. Don't ask questions.
Yeah, I know, right? It kind of is gangster-like. Like, damn, man. A couple fucking clicks of a button and shit. There's a box sitting on my fucking front door less than 24 hours from now. All right, so what are we moving on to from the AI terror?
Sticking with music, we're going to go to Courtney Love Slam's Rock Hall's Sexist Gatekeeping. And I couldn't read this article because I don't have the Rolling Stone.
I looked at a couple different sources and got the gist of it. But Chris,
if you find these things, by the way, I noticed Google News will take down paywalls. Apparently, I'm able to read stuff that you're supposed to have be behind a paywall. But if it comes up in Google News, you can read it somehow. I don't know.
You just got to search the title, and sometimes you got to go off Google to a different search engine. And usually the article will pop up in some form that you can read. Whether it's a reprint or it's quoting the article or it's a snapshot of the art, whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can. That's your free tip on, like, for boomers who don't know how to navigate the internet.
You're
Control boomer. F is your friend. Remember that. Always boomers. Control F is your friend when you look at your shit.
All right. So, yeah, I just think it's played out. Like, my final opinion on that whole article with Courtney, what did she, or no, you weren't able to read it, so you can't quote it. So I guess I should read it, huh? Where is Courtney Hole? There she is. Hole says, this year's nominations are the annual reminder of just how extraordinary a woman must be to make it into the old boys' club. I'm already tired. Courtney Love is calling out the lack of female artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as well as the lack of women on the institution's nomination board and voting body. In a scathing new op-ed, the Hole singer penned in The Guardian, the Rock Hall's canon-making doesn't just reek of sexist gatekeeping, but also purposeful ignorance and hostility.
Yeah.
Love herself, now eligible for Rock Hall consideration, noted that half of the inductees, just 8.4%, are women, while adding that the Rock Hall voters, among them musicians and industry elites, are 90% male. The nominations for this year's class announced last month offer the annual reminder of just how extraordinary a woman must be to make it into the old boys club. More women were nominated in one year than at any time in its 40-year history. They were iconoclasts. Kate Bush, Cyndi Lauper, Missy Elliott, two women in era-defining bands, Meg White of the White Stripes, and Jillian Gilbert of New Order, and a woman who subverted the old boys club, Sheryl Crow. Love put special focus on Bush's Rock Hall credentials and how the Rock Hall overlooked the one-of-a-kind artist for decades of eligibility before finally landing on the ballot in 2018. Four inductions later, Bush still hasn't received the honor because she's not that good. I don't care if putting her Stranger Things. She's okay. Never mind. That's music and its opinion. Never mind that she was the first woman in pop history to have written every track on a million-selling debut, Love Wrote of Bush. A pioneer of synthesizers and music videos, she was discovered last year by a new generation of fans while running up that hill. Featured in the Netflix, she is still making albums, and yet there's no guarantee of her being a shoo-in this year. Love also pinpointed other inexcusable Rock Hall errors. It took the Rock Hall 30-plus years to induct Nina Simone and Carole King. Linda Ronstadt released her debut in 1969 and became the first woman to headline stadiums, yet she was included alongside Nirvana in 2014. Most egregiously, Tina Turner was inducted as a solo artist 3 decades after making the grade alongside abuser Ike.
Okay, so I mean, like, yeah, basically, I'm tired she, goes of on for a list of, yeah. She goes on for a list of citing particularly Chaka Khan, who I guess is in Courtney Love's estimation, because she's black and female,
what, and she's been eligible since
2003, There's, what'd she say? For all her exceptional talent and accomplishments, if there's one thing women in music must be, it is endlessly exceptional. Khan has not convinced the Rock Hall of Rogue. I mean, like, first of all, I don't even know where to start. Who the fuck cares about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, and I'm not saying that in a fucking dismissive, like, ha-ha, I think I'm being original and funny way on the internet. I'm dead serious. Like, what musicians really give a fuck about it? I mean, they asked Alice in Chains about it, and Jerry Cantrell flat out was like, I mean, I don't really think about it. I just don't. And that's, like, seems to be the answer. At least for a lot of musicians that, like, we grew up listening to or starting to become eligible who are getting passed over. And I'm, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and Courtney Love, didn't you spend the whole first half of your career shitting all over the fucking establishment and the idea of anything like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And then when that ship sailed or pulled the fucking trigger on the shotgun, you tried to hitch your wagon to like this glam revival rock in the late 90s and 2000s. And she tried to I was going to be an actress. Embracing the very fucking mainstream she was fucking railing against just a year before, and now she's gonna come back and be like, oh, since the new generation's on some old bullshit, let me go ahead and get back on my bullshit and throw my two cents in here.
By the way,
that's how this comes off. That's honestly how this comes off to me.
Everyone said she was so good in The People versus Larry Flint. She played herself. She played a junkie.
The same role she played in
Real Stretch.
Sid Nancy.
Yeah,
same role she played in Sid Nancy like a decade earlier. Yeah. That was her claim to fame before Hole. She was in the movie with Gary Oldsow. Yeah, but
it's like Clay playing a gay guy. Whoa.
And I mean, like, here's how I've always looked at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the first set of fans of rock and roll, not the creators of rock and roll itself. The first wave of fans of rock and roll trying to, like, pay homage to the shit they loved when they grew up, and it slowly turned into a way to, like, can we revive our fucking careers somehow? And I think now it's more like, it's probably more of money exchanges hands. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're about to do a residency in Vegas for 2 years. Can we be put in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right before we start that?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really had any, I mean, when they were younger, it seemed they had a little bit more cred, but now they just seem like, yeah, whatever. Right? Like, it's kind of like...
Well, when they were younger, it seemed earnest because they were putting in, like, the blues guys who everyone overlooked except for the real creators of rock and roll, because these were the, like, if the real creators of rock and roll were the parents to the first wave of rock and roll fans, then the old blues guys were the grandparents to those fans. And they were going back and getting those guys that were alive or their families who had no recognition and doing their best to, like, look, these guys got robbed. They got fucking, in a lot of cases, they starved to death or they drank themselves to death or whatever the fuck at a very young age because they had nothing. They were taken advantage of constantly. They don't even, you know, their family doesn't even own the rights to their music. Let's try to help them. There was kind of that, you know what I'm saying? It was corporate, but it was like that shaking hands with the devil. You make the deal and it's like, yeah, but we're actually getting some good out of this. That's gone now. I don't see that at all, dude.
Well, no, they were anti-establishment, and now they've become the establishment.
Exactly. And like I said, now it's like, oh.
Everyone eventually becomes the man.
And by the way, hasn't Courtney Love inducted people into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
I swear I've seen her give a speech before there.
By the way,
maybe it was a roast. I don't know.
I have to fact correct my rant in the chat. Ozzy did get into the... They let Black Sabbath in 2006. But Ozzy... They did to Ozzy what they did to Dolly Parton, because they finally kept voting... Sabbath in, I guess, and Ozzy kept saying, well, no, I don't want to be in. And then in 2006, they fans, well, you're going in, you have no choice.
Well, but here we go. Jess, does anybody, like, any of your friends who are, like, even growing up or just recently, just whenever, has anybody ever really talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and been like, oh, yeah, that's a real important thing? Or have you gotten a feeling that they feel that way?
No. Not
and
even.
I mean... And I mean, I don't think I've ever asked you this. You don't play any instrument, do you?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, complete civilian, not musician's point of view on this. She's like, meh, sure.
I mean, and I've even defended them when people started slagging them, like, oh, it's just called the Music Hall of Fame. But no, it's like it's if you understand the cultural significance of a lot of these other people, they should be in there. Now, some it's no. Now, when you get into who they've met, tried to put in from other genres, that's where we could have different conversations. But like, yeah, it's just it's lost its cachet, so to speak, with at least with, you know, musicians, Generation X age musicians. Two on the show anyway, and one millennial who doesn't even give a shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've literally worked with people who were 10 to 15 years younger than me, who were prime partying age, went to Cleveland, blah, 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 this and this and this. I didn't even know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was in Cleveland. Spent the whole weekend there, had no idea. I'm like, where'd you stay? They're like, oh, that weird shaped fucking thing by, over kind of by the stadium and like the Rocket. And I'm like, whew. Okay.
Right? Because when I was in my 20s, if we were in Cleveland, you know there was a stop there, especially with the crew I ran with.
Well, I mean, just like, you're not aware of that being there, and you're partying for a weekend in the fucking city. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get you're young, and you're probably wanting to get drunk and get high, get laid, but have some situational awareness of your AO. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? Look right around, dude. Jesus Christ. But no, it doesn't shock me. To me, it went from a way of really trying to, like, I guess, make amends or make at least like try to help some musicians who kind of got fucked over because the music business is always business first. And it was really the Wild West back in the fucking 19s and 1920s. So
no, the music business is, it's a bunch of fucking middlemen.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
it's
man.
A bunch of like people this getting between the artists and their fucking money. It's all agents are, it's all booking agents are, it's all tour managers are.
Well, I mean, and back then there wasn't all that. There was just, I'm your manager, trust me, boy.
It's all shit bands do themselves until they start making money. Fucking, that's what I don't get. Like, why would we, like, now charge a person to do something we've been doing the whole time? I don't know. I'm business-minded. Or cheap. Whichever one you want to call it.
And I mean, ultimately, okay, so how I view Courtney Love saying this aside, I mean, does she have a point? Yeah, I guess. I mean, you want me to be brutally honest with you? There's a lot of fucking female artists who are propped up by fucking producers and musicians who are in love with them or in relationships with them. And just like there's a lot of fucking male pop creations that are propped up by the fucking money guys who probably couldn't carry a tune if you put it in a bucket and told them to walk across the street with it. So, you know, I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
No one's talking about Leif Garrett's gotten screwed.
You know what? I'm just saying, like, because look, I don't know if it's lack of marketing. I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if it's because the money people who invested in a lot of, like, because like the when every time I see more of the like fringe artist or the like marginal or on the bubble artists make it into any of these type of, especially the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but any of these types of things, I'm just like, who owns the rights to their music and who fucking greased the right palms to get this fucking boost? Because this is like more boost in sales and streaming and nostalgia, get the surviving members if they can for a tour. I mean, I don't even think they would fucking even do like do not record one piece of new music. No one gives a fuck about that bullshit. Just go out there and play the hits. I mean, that's what it feels like. And I mean, how could you take an institution seriously when that's the criteria now to get people in? That's the reasoning to get people in. We want to boost our sales.
The answer is,
then that's not a Hall of Fame. That's a, go ahead.
No, I said the answer is you can. I was just answering the question you asked.
Well, I mean,
how can you trust them? You can't.
I mean, I guess I didn't realize this, but I guess like the NFL Hall of Fame is seen as a joke by the by baseball fans because the Baseball Hall of Fame is like super selective and snooty.
See, I would say the complete opposite. Like the baseball, the fact that it's based on a bunch of people's opinions and not the actual performance to me is fucking dumb. But that's just like my opinion, man.
It's funny. The Hall of Fame should be just based on objective stats and stats alone. Most of them are based on opinion. And the ones that are based on opinion, they want to treat it like it's an objective fact. Like Pearl Jam is one of the greatest bands to ever do it.
Right.
It's like, look, yeah. And I like, look, all right, pump the fucking brakes.
Yeah.
Love me some Pearl Jam, all right? But we got to fucking get some perspective and some fucking, like, serious, man.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe of the 90s top 50, okay. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I could fucking put them in there, but
yeah, there's a dividing line with Pearl Jam. And it's a while ago.
Anyways, we're no more. Let's move on from this music nerd bullshit. God, I'm sorry. Jess, did you just want to take a show off? I mean, I guess we can just let you go if you really want.
I feel like it's slow. Sorry. Hey, man, we got no deliveries. You can go home, man.
No, I don't know anything at all about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But there you go. But
that speaks volumes right there.
Boom. Just make an account, right?
Yes, that speaks volumes. It'd be like if you're like, because here's Jess. Do you love music?
Yes.
Are you fans of like, I like music, or do you have like bands you like and genres you like and preferences, and you understand music on that level?
Yeah, no, I have my genres.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like this, like you can interject, because you got to remember. Like, I mean, I know you're like 29. What is that again?
Yeah, always. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So unlike Forever 21, it's Forever 29.
Yes. Just with leggings and hoodies instead of, what is it?
However, the trick to remember that is, that's how I'm going to remember that. Anyway,
29 is just yoga pants.
I know you were 4 when like Blink 182 first come out, but let's say you weren't, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you have an opinion of like, there's 25 years is the,
Rich, she might actually been 4.
No, because their first album came out, I think 97 or 98.
Did it?
Yeah. They had a different drummer. But what I'm saying is, like, I think they're either it's 92? This year or next. When? Now, hold up.
92.
Okay. They were punk.
Holy crap.
They were punk. Okay, quote unquote. I'm using air quotes here. They were punk. I don't know if that counts for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It might be like.
Does that have to be your first major label?
At least not like, yeah, not like independent. You pressed 200 copies and sold that some fan put on fucking Wikipedia. But I mean, my point is that. That's a band that you pretty much been around your whole life, or at least since you've been in the music. And I mean, do you think they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Can you make a case for that? Or is it like, I don't know. I don't even know how to make a case for it, because I don't give a fuck about the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. Well, unfortunately, that's kind of it. Like, I don't care. I don't care if I wouldn't know the criteria to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know what it even means.
That's the most punk thing ever. She don't care, man.
Yeah. That's what I was going for.
How Gen X of you?
No, I truly don't. Like, that doesn't matter to me. Like, okay, so you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but that doesn't make me like.
That don't impress me much.
No, I just who cares? Like
Mick Jagger. So. Sorry.
So you're Blink 182?
I mean, I like Blink. I really do.
It seems to me that they're missing a marketing opportunity here. And maybe I'm just not picking up what they're trying to do with the marketing opportunity. Maybe they're trying to, like, maybe bands like Blink 182, they've decided have the wrong type of fans that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doesn't want to cater to. Like, yeah, I see this. Chris, maybe you can pick up what I'm saying. As a musician, you see this. Like, when you see a big push from the music industry and it's like a full fucking court press, like when I saw with Billie Eilish. Like, she put out one album, and had a Fender fucking signature instrument. And I'm like, really? And the advertising, the legendary artist. And I'm like, legendary? Bitch ain't even got a second album out yet, I don't think.
Can't even buy alcohol yet. Are you legendary?
That's what I'm saying. Like, everything's legendary and iconic. The minute it happens, no the fuck it's not. That's not how that works. And so maybe they're trying to, like...
Well, think about this. Two age groups below us who love to tell us that they love them some them.
I know, but the point is that it's... You know what? You get what I'm saying. Like, the Billie Eilish is going to be, like, the musical fart sniffers fucking gateway drug for a lot of musical fart sniffers. They're going to be like, oh, my God, when I was younger, I hate to say this, my first album was Billie Eilish. I love that album. But then I started listening to Annie DeFranco and whatever the fuck. You know how the fucking rabbit hole goes. That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what they're going for, and Blink 182 has the wrong type of fans. We don't want to cater to those people. Those people went to the 90s and 2000s? The touring punk festival?
Lollapalooza?
Warped Tour?
No,
Lollapalooza is about 50-50 as far as artist be unacceptable for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Warp Tour, I don't think anyone from the Warp Tour is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the Warp Tour guy. I was Lollapalooza or Ozfest. I was in a Warp Tour. I've been to zero Warped Tours.
I went to Planet Fest for a local radio station, 96.3 The Planet, back in the day, and saw a bunch of 80s bands in 1999, a cunt hair away from the year 2000. It was like, there's way too many people here. I'm never going to a festival again. And then I never did. So I was none of the above.
Oh, wow.
Stay at home, motherfucker.
Dude, I guess the Warped Tour is maybe No Doubt's played the Warped Tour, Beck played the Warped Tour, then Biscuit played Beck, the Warped Tour.
I can see Beck in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I can see No Doubt on record sales.
Incubus, Deftones, Ice-T, Black Eyed Peas, some guy named Eminem, Nerd, that includes a guy named Pharrell Williams. I think he'll get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
This is the Warped Tour?
Yeah. These are all in the 90s.
They were on tour. Yeah. Eminem had 1 year to do that in the 90s. And if it's not 99, it's bullshit. He wasn't on tour before 99 on the Warped Tour. His first album, he didn't even finish recording with Dre until the end of 98. He won the Rap Olympics out there. That's what got the attention of Dre. And that was like late 97, early 98.
It says it was before Marshall Mathers LP was out.
So the Slim Shady LP was out.
Yeah.
So it's between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, but that's...
I know he was...
But that's when everyone discovered him, right? That's when he was getting rotation at rock and roll stations, right? That's when 89X was playing him. Or no, wait, that was... But yeah, no, because I remember I first heard My Name is on 89X. So for sure, because yeah, that he started... Like, that album came out like the year after I got out of high school.
Okay, well, then I guess I am wrong. I honestly thought the Warped Tour was more about like screamo, crabcore motherfucker, you know, bands... And it's like, yeah, I don't see Attack in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anytime soon.
Well, I feel in the 2000s it did pivot to what you're talking about. But I just Googled, like, who's played the Warped Tour. And this is the first article comes up, like, big stars who've played the Warped Tour.
I mean, but, see, here's my point.
Oh.
Like, okay, if we're going to talk to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, before a band like Blink-182 or Green Day should have been in there, we should have been talking about... If we're just talking about impact on music, I mean, I know these bands would never agree to it. You would have to induct them in absentia. But like, where's Fugazi? Where's the Misfits? Why is it all this safe fucking mall punk?
Are the Ramones in?
I hate to say it, Ramones mall punk. I mean, like, I don't see Agnostic Front. I don't see the Descendants. I don't see all. I don't see.
My argument for the Ramones is someone had to be the first one, and they are it. Like, Ramones started mall punk.
Well, no. Ramones got turned into mall punk. Ramones come out and were just fucking. I think punk was really weird back in the mid '70s for a minute, and then it became its own thing because you got to remember Television, the Talking Heads, Blondie, and the Ramones were all considered punk at the same time, and those four bands sound nothing alike.
As I get older, I'm getting so much more into the Talking Heads. I'm like, what was wrong? Aren't
they a fucking great band?
I was like, what was wrong with me when I was younger?
Oh, dude. Okay, this is something we got to dedicate time to off the air. I can't believe that, man. Especially with you coming from a jazz background and Tina Weymouth being the fucking bass player.
No, you know why? I could tell you exactly why. Because radio fucked out once in a lifetime, and she was, and burning down the house. Like, that's at least radio in Detroit. Like, I'd had enough of those songs, ever, those three songs, enough in my life.
It's like She Talks to Angels and Jeremy and Black for me. I'm like, I liked them the first million times I heard them. Stop playing them, please.
No, you know what sold me on the Talking Heads? And this was back when I was working in radio, and I my interest, but even more now as I'm older. But when I heard the live version of Life in Wartime, I was like, holy shit, this is fucking Talking Heads? What? And just the fact that it was a live recording, I was like, I think that's what blew me away. Like, this is fucking live?
Yeah, they had Adrian Belew, and I think at one point Robert Fripp from King Crimson as their touring guitar players. At one point, I don't know if that was like they sat in on some shows and they were recorded, but I know that there's recordings, like video recordings out there of Adrian Belew playing with them.
But I also heard he did them dirty, like how they ended, like he just stopped showing up. It was just like, I don't want to be like, I was in a band, perhaps I was in that type of situation, so I know how it feels.
Well, I mean, hey. It is what it is.
It's like, hey, I'm done being in the band. Oh, but didn't bother telling them. like, you know, until he realized they were making a record without him, and then had to be like, oh, by the way, I'll finish this and then we're done.
So now that's when I'd have had a problem. Mm-hmm. If you tell us at the, like, as the tour's ending or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like as the cycle of record, whatever is coming to an end, fine.
Oh, dude.
I might be pissed, but fine. You at least, you followed through. But, like, to let us get to the point of, like, hey, you going to put some vocals on this shit? And then hold us hostage with the, ugh, yeah, but it'll be the last one. At that point, I might go back to the studio and be like, erase everything on that shit. Band's done. Release the press statement. You ain't holding me hostage. I'll blow up everything.
The last tour hired a second bass player. Like, Tina Weymouth was pissed.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we're in the weeds.
Yep, me all excited talking about Warped Tour, and then you went into talking about different bands. I don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, I'm going down. I found the Warped Tour, like everyone who's ever played. Holy shit, it's definitely a mix. I mean, there's people like BB Rexha, and then yeah, Rich, see, Attack.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Quite
like,
the spectrum.
That's what I'm saying, though. Played and toured are two different things. Like when I think Warped Tour, I think of like the Warped Tour where you have like the van stage, or not the van stage, but like the, you know, the I don't know, what was it? The Birdhouse stage. I'm trying to think of like some like early 2000s, like youth culture stage, you know, shit like the Tony Hawk stage or whatever, you know, pro skater stage, that type shit. I'm not talking about like when Lollapalooza stopped touring and we're like, we're just going to have one show in Chicago or have a weekend festival in Chicago. No, that's not the same fucking thing as going on tour. Like, those are artists showing up playing and then scooting in later. You know what I'm saying? Like, touring artists, like, to me, it's just like those type of, I don't know how to put this. It's like, it's the same thing in metal. The bands that would play big metal festivals that last for a couple days might have a shot at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But the bands that were like the fucking Road Dogs, the Road Warriors, I don't think they have any shot. And I think it's the same way in punk and in the Warped Tour community.
Yeah, like Clutch ain't getting in.
Or how about this? The Ataris ain't getting in. The Panic at the Disco might.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, dude. I don't know. I don't know like what's considered. Is Linkin Park in? Because if not, they will be. They got to be a lock now, right? I mean, off yourself, that's almost, and you're like, your sales are as good as them, and you were like tolerated for the most part by critics and adored by your fans. Seems like a slam dunk.
Is it 20 or 25 years? Because if it's 20 years, Hybrid Theory is eligible. Well, 25, then they're not. They got two more years then.
Linkin Park will be eligible in 2025.
Wow. Okay. Oh, out. Oh. That just made me feel, that sentence made me feel so fucking old. No, because I was on overnight radio. I was playing One Step Closer when it first came out.
I know. I had to go over to a buddy's house and listen to him play that fucking CD over and over and over. And he was a musician, and he was telling me how we need to fucking start a band and do this. And I'm like, but they're doing this. They right. got this. You don't want to riff on this. You don't want to fucking put a spin on this. You just want to do this. Do you see you're part of the problem, dumbass? Sorry. Now this is pulled the bandages off of some chocolate, man. I wasn't ready to deal with this shit tonight. Got me all up in my emotions. I'm all verklempt and shit. I mean, oh my God, man. Oh. Anyways. Yeah. No.
Well, while you're in your feelings, Rich, why don't you tell us, you have a story for us, don't you?
Oh, God. I don't. Are you trying to get me arrested by the end of this show?
That's my goal.
All right, so I had to go to one of our local Social Security Administration offices, and I pull up, and I've checked. And by the way, I just want to say everything. This is almost my own personal business. Everything's conflicting information. I went to their website. It told me one thing. I was like, cool. I did that. And then they were like, you didn't do it right. Go in and they're like, cool, you did it right. But now you've reset the clock. So now the timer goes back to zero. And I'm just like, this is madness. Why didn't they just tell me the most efficient way in the first place? But that's beside the point. This is what really irked me. Okay, we in this state of Michigan here, we have no restrictions on wearing masks. Anywhere. I looked it up. Even in fucking retirement communities, shit like that, it is strongly encouraged But there, you cannot be arrested. You cannot be refused service or refused entry. So I go to walk in. I'm not even like two steps in. You got to have a mask. And I'm like, for what? It's the law. No, it's not. Well, it's an emergency. And I'm like, no, it's not. That was over in February. And basically, to say, for the sake of brevity, it went back and forth until it got to the point of like, do you want the service that we offer here? And I was like, but we don't have a mandate, right? We're not being forced to, right?
Correct.
So, yeah, I hung it over one ear and walked up to the fucking kiosk, punched in my shit and went and sat down and wait, and then put on my fucking chin diaper. And I'm like, really? We're doing this still? And it's just, don't tell me this shit is, well, you can just not do it. Really? Because if that's how it's going to be, since Michigan's like, no, there's no more fucking regulation. There's no mandate that says you have to wear a mask. But yet places are going to go, government buildings are going to go, we're still going to do this. According to who? Who gave you permission to do that? Because the people above you said that that's not how that goes. And if here's your answer. Do you want the service we provide here? Do you want your license renewed? Do you want your fucking Social Security card replaced? Do you want to change your name because you got married? Did your husband die and you have to apply for SSI for the fucking underage child? But this isn't, you don't have to do it, guys. That's bullshit. That's a diss. That's coming at, right there. This is the government coming at us in bad faith and telling us we must always deal with them in good faith. Fuck that.
By the way, and I looked up federal just in case, because I was like, oh, wait, Social Security, that's a federal thing. All federal employees, on-site contractors, and visitors, regardless of vaccination, must wear a high-quality mask inside of federal buildings in areas where COVID-19 community level is high or required by local mask mandates. So strikes two and three, because we're not in a high transmission area. So
nope.
Get fucked.
They don't even bother reporting. They don't even bother reporting that shit. And they used to report it every hour like they did the fucking call sign at the top of the hour because they legally have to on radio. They've stopped that. So, I mean, yeah, my inner civil libertarian was suitably outraged, and I was pissed off. And I'm just like, this is nonsense, but you know what? What can I do? They had me over the barrel, man. I needed the service. I had to do it. So there you go.
That is ridiculous.
See, I'd have been like, for what? But see, I've learned I'll make a scene in public lately. I gotta knock that shit off.
I also have lost all filters. I'm in the South. We don't do we don't even do masks at the doctor's office anymore. I had to go to a quick care, and there was a big sign still on the door, and it was like, you must wear a mask to come in. I was the first one there, and I opened the door, and the nurse has her mask like dangling by her ear, and she like side-eyes me, and I side-eye her, and then we just like, so anyway, and no one puts a mask on, and we move on with our life.
You know, it's interesting you bring up a medical setting, because in the last couple years, that is the only time when I've been asked to wear a mask where, like, I initially bristled and was like, oh, what the fuck? And I was like, you know what? This makes sense. Infection comes here on purpose. Mm-hmm. I'll wear a mask. I'm okay with it, because I was in a fucking hospital, right? But, yeah, going to the fucking the government agency, get fucked. Like, for what? Like, what? Who? No. Like,
well, I mean, having
I'd be
done,
like,
having,
call the cops. I'll be gone by the time they get here.
Having done food delivery, I can tell you this, all right? Before COVID, if there was some sort of, like, holy shit, an outbreak of something that's kicking everybody's ass, man, they wouldn't let you get into the vestibule, let alone into the actual fucking facility. You know what I'm saying? Like, we will meet you at the door. COVID really was, we'll meet you at the door. Post-COVID, it's like, okay, well, if you want to be that cautious, that's your policy. I'm delivering food. Here you go. Here's the front desk. There's your food. Bye. Figure it out from here. That's all I'm fucking obligated to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest here. I've walked into places and they understand, oh, he's walking with a food delivery bag. He's coming to the front desk. That's it. All right. No, you, sir, stop. Stop right there. You got to. I start hearing that shit. I just start laughing, shaking my head, open a bag, put shit on it, say, it's for so-and-so. There's your receipt. Have a nice day. Turn around, walk out. I don't want to hear it. I almost laugh in their face. I'm just like, you can just, you know what I want to tell them, but you know what I'm saying? But like, this isn't that type of situation. And by the way, I totally agree with you. If they were like, well, you have to deliver that to that person, and okay, well, then give me a fucking mask. But I'm sorry, I don't think I'm going to bring the Black Death with me the five steps I walk past your fucking vestibule to your front desk, where you're not wearing masks yourselves, by the way.
What's it going to be, Black Death?
Wow.
I don't know. Was there a White Death? I mean, wasn't that just colonization?
Aren't they working on that right now?
It's a new nickname for my dick, White Death.
Hold on and check.
Did it.
Got it handled.
No, we were doing good because we actually talked about dicks earlier without making jokes.
Right?
We just brought dicks up in a very matter of fact way, along with pussies, and it moved on. So.
Growth.
I feel White Death was, you can't ignore a phrase like White Death.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. That's what the Black Plague was called, right? The Black Death?
Yes.
I get what you're saying, but you know somewhere somebody's like, yeah. Dumb motherfucker. Stop giving these ignorant motherfuckers ideas, man. Stop, dude. Damn.
What is he going to be like, yeah?
What's that? Yeah. Did you
see the black voice? Wait, that's a black voice?
I guess my point is, it's 2023. You could do this all day because everyone's so petty and fucking shitty now. Like, there's somebody on Twitter actually having that opinion.
Well, there you go. There's my.
Why is it called the Black Death?
I was thinking just somebody who is just fucking like bone deep sure of themselves, overconfident for no good reason, and how they would sound. And I channeled a friend of mine who's white who thinks he's black, and you said, why is it got to be a black voice? There you go. That's why I had to be a black voice. I'd call him out by name, but I don't want to feed his narcissism. Like, I'm sitting there like, no, I was doing, and I was about to say his name, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, he does kind of think he's black, doesn't he?
No, I always remember, I'm the racist. I made it racist.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Well, speaking of ridiculous things being racist, how about pantry porn?
Like people fucking each other in the pantry?
I wish, honestly. That would be better than this.
Fuck me on these Apple Jacks. Let's go.
No, so there's this whole huge, like, trend of people wanting to, and it usually happens in the spring during spring cleaning or at like New Year when everyone's cleaning up from the holiday, whenever they want to get their pantries organized. And they do it in these really meticulous ways where you don't just like line up your cereal boxes. You get these plastic containers and put your cereal into the plastic container.
Oh, it is one of the good byproducts of OCD. I'll give it that.
And it's all labeled. And it's rotated appropriately. It's very aesthetically pleasing, but apparently it's racist and sexist and classist.
Why? So, why? And why?
But it's just because it proves, what about the people that can't have nice things? What about the people that can't afford containers for their cereal container? And if we're going to talk about people who can't afford that, I mean, traditionally, the more people of color are the ones who can't afford stuff like that.
No, not really. I've been to the South. I know there's a lot of very, I mean, abject poverty stricken poor white people. Like, I know abject poverty poor is like redundant, but whatever. I mean, I guess I get the argument if they're trying to say, well, you know, buying all this extra shit just to fucking stunt online and whatever. All right, well, then you're just making a moral judgment then. Okay, but that doesn't prove anybody's racist. That just proves that bothers you on some sort of moral level. You feel like they're showing out. Because the idea of a pantry is not like something privileged people have ever done. Everyone I know who's kept a pantry who's older than me has always been like my grandmother and people her age who grew up in the Depression and were terrified of starving to death. You know what? I just realized my other grandmother, she didn't have a pantry, but she had literally two appliances. One was a stand-up freezer that looked like a refrigerator, and the other was a dishwasher that she didn't use for anything but dry goods storage because she was afraid of throwing shit away.
My granny was Great Depression. She told a story about it that always stuck with us about how when she was young, there was this girl who wasn't as affected, someone who was wealthier than than she was. And they, you know, people were hungry, and this girl always had apples, and the apples always looked so good. And one day she threw the apple down and hadn't eaten all the apple, like threw it away. And my granny talked about how she had to fight everything in her to not pick it up and finish it. And that always, like, that was a story she told the whole family, and it just stuck with us, you know? And when, what, the way she coped and carried that on is, of course, she had a huge pantry, but she also had a huge garden, and her entire driveway was lined in apple trees that they put in there. Like the whole food insecurity thing, but she learned how to preserve it. They made their own wine and their own
that's
jelly.
Orchard porn.
Well, see, no, but here's the thing. I was going to say, now both my grandparents who did this shit, and I guess hoarded food like this, for lack of a better term, they didn't have pantry porn or anything, but it was organized. My grandmother, who froze everything, it was certain types of containers with a piece of masking tape written with the date and what was inside.
Yeah, what's so privileged about wanting to know where your shit is?
My grandmother, who actually had in like a dirt cellar, like pantry, it was all jars and shit, and everything was aligned up. It was like walking down the aisle of a retail store, and everything's fronted and faced and restocked. That's what her pantry looked like. But it wasn't like with ostentatious bullshit, like live, love, laugh, and all that bullshit. It was with what she could afford. She wanted it to look good. Why? Because it's her personal space, and it is a personal fucking choice. It's not racist. It's not classist. It's just, hey, I want my shit organized, and I want to know what the fuck I'm pulling from and what I'm eating. It's madness. It's madness. How are we back to the point where, like, This is racist behavior. This is rooted in white supremacy. Really?
According to this person's research, the social media influencers who push pantry porn are predominantly white women who demonstrate what it looks like to maintain a nice home by creating a new status symbol, the perfectly organized, fully stocked pantry.
Okay, hold up.
That's just white women.
So this is you shitting all over traditional wives and women. Is that, should I assume the worst? Like they would about anybody who did made an assumption about them. You know what I'm saying? Because that could be taken that way if I wanted it to, right?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, the way our world works now is it's your burden of proof to disprove the accusation. I don't have to prove my accusation. You're attacking traditional wives and women who've made a valid choice in their lives to maybe forego a career that you yourself wouldn't have forego for a personal decision like raise a family. That's a valid decision. She's on her journey. Why are you attacking her? Why are you like this? Who hurt you?
Storing spices in coordinated glass jars and color coordinating dozens of sprinkle containers may seem trivial, but tidiness is tangled up with status, and messiness is loaded with assumptions about a personal responsibility and respectability.
Yeah, it should be.
Hold on. If you ever worked in an office environment, motherfuckers whose desk like a grenade went off can find anything because it makes sense to them.
Trust me,
I will die on that motherfucking hill.
I will too. I am a reformed, messy person. My argument to my mom always used to be, I know where any, challenge me to find anything, I know where it is. Chad used to be to any of my roommates, to any girlfriends, ex-wife. Like, it's, Rich, I get it. I understand what you're saying. But
hold on. We're talking about personal areas or shit, like the day room and community. The community day room. No, Rich, don't show off that you were state raised for a bit. Like bathrooms.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, no, it's like the day room. I just realized, yeah. I was like, yeah. Like, but community, like communal areas, I guess. Is what I'm, like, yeah, that's a different story. But I'm talking about like.
Yeah, personal space. No, like I've said, with my mom in my room, like I know where, I just said, my argument always be, I know where anything is in there. Challenge, like Charlie Murphy, challenge me.
Challenge him. You don't believe me? Challenge him. Make sure your people are there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, this one's important. Cleanliness has historically been used as cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions based on a vague understanding of niceness. Nice people with nice yards in nice houses make for nice neighborhoods.
Yeah, actually, yes. Yeah, well, people, life? You want to live? Yeah, you want to live next to somebody who gives a shit about where they live. Shocking.
Yeah, but aren't you just playing the odds? Isn't that what this is? They're getting mad at you for going, how dare you notice that you probably have less odds of dealing with an bunch of idiot neighbors in a fucking better off to do neighborhood. Yeah. Like, if you live in the hood, white or black, I bet you the lower down the socioeconomic scale you go, the higher up the chances your neighbors are guessing are on some bullshit.
But trust me, it ain't all. It don't matter because people are crazy. I got a friend who they spent 2 years building their dream house, got to appoint everything and pick it out, and they sold it in 2 years because their neighbors were fucking crazy. So yeah, crazy don't care about class. Crazy can move it next to you anywhere. But what when you get into real estate too, you want your property value. You want your property to retain its value, and if your neighbor don't give a shit, your property value is going to go down. Like it's kind of taking like money out of your pocket in a sense. And just what's wrong with, like I said, what's wrong with wanting to live around a bunch of people who give a shit? Is that racist? It's racist if you're making it racist. Cause I'm in a lot of affluent neighborhoods every fucking day. Good portion of our customers are black. Shocking. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I've known that for over a decade, and that's like no politician in Southeast Michigan who's running with, coming from a certain political angle, we'll put it that way, is ever going to admit that. Like, they're never going to admit that. But it's the truth. And yes, those neighborhoods, those subdivisions that are very exclusive, whether they're predominantly white or black, they don't want your bullshit coming in there. And shit, you get down near Dearborn, you get some of those areas, those neighborhoods, there's just as much money. And they don't want no bullshit in their neighborhood neither. And those aren't white or black. Those people are Middle Eastern. So who are you pointing the finger at for that one? I mean, it's such a stupid argument. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jess.
No, I said I was being a smartass. I said probably Trump.
Well, it's just such a stupid argument. Like, okay, aesthetically pleasing. Like, there's just this back. I'm sorry. This is gonna be a little. They're all rants. Whatever. If you listen, you're used to it. There's like this backlash against beauty, and I think we just need to start being like, no, look. We've let you run wild with it for a fucking while, okay? Here's the thing. People want to look at things that are pleasing to look at. They want to hear things that are pleasing to listen to. They want to eat things that taste good. All your fucking deconstruction, postmodern bullshit ain't going to change any of that. But here's the beauty. Here's the beauty in beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. So that half-shaved, blue-haired land whale with the 15 septum piercings over there gets your motor running. Good for you. And if homeboy over here likes, like, 1980 stripper bimbos with big old fake tits, good for fucking him. Let him the fuck alone. Like, I feel like that's what this attack is on. Like, I really do. It's like anything that's aesthetically pleasing is somehow... This is the byproduct of this postmodern, this fucking Marxism. Everything is a struggle for power, outlook on the world. And once you get one fucking political side or one group of people with political power to start acting as if that's the reality of the situation, you kind of force others to start acting like that's the reality of the situation. I think that's where we're at right now.
We're doing it again. It's that time of year. It's March Madness time. Guess what they keep fucking leading with on ESPN? The women's tournament. You've been doing this for 10 years. The WNBA has been losing money for 2.5 decades. You can talk about it all you want. You can make it the lead story all you want. You can't make people give a shit who don't give a shit. Like, it's just like people like to look at things that are pleasing, right? Like with sports, we like to look at the best, right? What gets the most. There's a reason.
Yes,
like,
absolutely. Real quick, you brought up sports. The World Baseball Classic just happened. For the uninitiated, World Baseball Classic is like the World Cup for baseball, like World Cup soccer or whatever. I think it's every 3 or 4, I don't know, it used to be every 3 years. Point is that all these players come together and play for their country in this tournament. And the winner, you know, blah, 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 is champion for the next 3 to 4 years, whatever it is. We started in 2006, the Americans were like favored to win. They didn't. The first one was in 2006. Second one, they didn't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took, I think to the third World Baseball Classic, maybe even fourth. And like, players were like, yeah, I don't really feel the need to play for it from the U.S., but other players from other countries were like, I will not miss this for anything. To play for my country? Are you kidding me? What happened this year is a bunch of young MLB players went and played for the U.S. and they had a fucking blast. And they were out there enjoying having national pride in playing with the American colors and flag on their uniform. And they took pride in being the best when they beat other countries' best. And this is professional athletes, and they're just realizing it's okay to be like that. And I'm like, this is madness. This is how much we've convinced entire generations that shit doesn't matter. Meanwhile, are you kidding me? The rest of the world don't look at it that way. You want proof? Look at this shit. I mean, when we did Sporgy and Todd would come on, talk about going to baseball tournaments and playoffs and like Winter League down in Central America and shit. He's like, man, that is like, it's every game is like the fucking Super Bowl, just with a lot less technology and fireworks. I mean, like, these are big things, and we have just lost. We don't take pride in things we just take pride in, and it's weird. And it's weird because I'm watching professional athletes realize, oh, it's okay to want to win for my country. Who the fuck? Yes! I'm not saying you go over and you kick their babies and you know what I'm saying? And carpet bomb them back to the Stone Age.
We're not asking you to
beat them on a baseball field.
We're not asking you to do it.
They're going to be playing to beat you.
We're not asking you to do it dressed like Uncle Sam.
Exactly. And the players, like like I said, it was just... The whole thing came down to Japan and the USA, and it was two players from the same team, and it's two of the best players. I swear to God, it's scripted. I almost feel like it's scripted. It's Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout. Two outs, top of the ninth. Ohtani's in to close the game. He strikes Trout out. Boom. Japan wins World Baseball Classic last night. Wow. But I just want to say this. Like, it was like I cared more about that game. I watched that entire game. I've cared more about that game than I've cared about even some of the last Tigers playoff games when they were good. So what's that tell you? But I mean, like, it was amazing because it got hardly any press here. Hardly anyone's talking about it. I had to hunt and search for a way to watch a lot of games, and I missed easily like 98% of the games. But to the rest of the world, no. Completely different. Completely different. That's our country. That's boys from our country out there playing. Like, they were asking these players who play in Major League Baseball or playing in this World Baseball Classic, who are from, like, you know, Puerto Rico, so what do you think? Or the Dominican Republic. And they're like, would you rather win a World Series or the World Baseball Classic? They're like, World Baseball Classic. We want to beat the best in the world. And this is where you play the best in the world. I mean, that is, think about that. That's nuts. But that's what we've done in society. Like, it's, if you say I'm proud of anything American, you automatically get the side eye and the eyebrow lift. Like, oh, you're one of those.
How dare you?
And I'm like, do you understand that the fact that you can do that without having to look over your shoulder is what I'm celebrating, you stupid fuck?
And that's why we're friends. And you know what? Yes, I like the fact that you can side-eye me and say that shit to me. Yes.
That's what I'm celebrating. I ain't celebrating all the bullshit you bring up. Just because, yes, we all know, no entity, no whatever, social construct, like a country, well, however you want to look at it or label it, is any one thing. America's got a lot of fucking dirt. It's got whole fucking cemeteries in its closet, like national cemeteries in its closet.
It's possible.
But it's also done a lot of good in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the realistic opinion that is lost because we've let the inmates run the asylum on a lot of these things. And it's nuts because the people go, this has no effect. Shit like this has no effect in the real world. This is all academics and political people arguing on TV for shut-ins at home. I just showed you it took players going and playing in that shit to go, oh my God, this is a big thing. This is like, holy shit. Players that played in the World Series were like, this feels like a World Series game.
Like, dude, I mean, what this pantry porners racist shit, this is, again, like I said it, I think I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, dude, we need a war. And I say it in jest, but we need something to legitimately threaten our way of life for people to go, wow, we've been talking about a bunch of dumb shit.
Well, that's not going to happen because I don't think people want to fucking admit that they're that stupid. Most people can't handle that shit. I mean, that's why we were like, you know, before anyone started talking about, like, even speaking up, like, for the most part, hey, this COVID bullshit, that was some horse shit, right? Before those, like, major, like, celebrities started coming out saying anything about it, what happened? COVID forgiveness. We need to have that national conversation. Really? Were we having national conversations when you were deplatforming people and costing people their careers? Were we pausing to consider the effects of our words then and our actions then?
No, you had to be struck down.
Yeah, that was, you were fighting for the wrong cause then. Now we're fighting for the right cause, and you just got to forgive us for all of that, okay?
Now we're getting to the old existential argument, right? Right and wrong is relative. Ooh.
But there's a new study about COVID where China says it might have come from raccoon dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we're supposed to dismiss the lab leak, because somebody from the Atlantic said, hey, China researchers said, no, it's from the raccoon dog.
Yes. What is a raccoon
Rocket from fucking Guardians of the Galaxy gave us all COVID. Bradley Cooper's ass.
I love how when it makes us right. Sure, we'll trust China. By us, I mean like the royal us, not
us. No, yeah, yeah.
No, I have never seen a raccoon dog until this moment. They're adorable.
I mean, okay, look. it's Russell Brand, and he puts 100 on 10. You know what I'm saying? He's an entertainer. You have to remember that. So he entertains. But he did bring up a good point. He's like, of all the fucking... He goes, we've had the internet. We've had people become obsessed with obscure, cute animals. And they found one that nobody's fucking ever heard of. And when you go look it up, it's like, aww.
They okay. are. They're so cute.
I feel like I'm being emotionally manipulated, like when Disney put the porgs in that Star Wars movie. Like, get those fucking things out of here.
Well, they're there because there were birds in the shot.
Oh, there can't be birds in the Disney universe? Or, excuse me, the Star Wars universe? Fuck off, dude. You just wanted to put shit to sell fucking plushies to dumbasses in there. Sorry. Cynical. Bitter. Hate to come across that way, but it's because I am, so.
What? Disney likes marketing. You cynic.
Isn't that amazing that that's a controversial take? But no, yeah. This feels like just... If you throw enough fucking bullshit on the ground, they'll lose the scent. I feel like we're in the middle of that process.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've been mad about all the other ones. I'm not mad about this because now I know what a raccoon dog is. I'm cool with this one. You know what? I don't blame the raccoon dog, but thank you for bringing it to my attention.
Just go squat on don'tblamethe.raccoondog.com.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
Wow, she's got it bookmarked.
Yes.
I mean, you have a family, and I know the destructive fucking side effects of alcohol, but you really need a new fucking hobby.
Don't. Like,
this is... I'm just saying.
Raccoon dog is available for a penny.
You need a new hobby. Like, seriously, like, I don't know. Like, boof kratom or something like that. I don't know.
No, I feel like I could start a movement with this one. It's perfect time to buy it. Don't blame the raccoon dog. It's where enough is enough.
You just put pictures of adorable raccoon dogs on it.
Oh, look at this face. Hi, I'm White Lady. Yeah. I'm here to say the Chinese probably did it. Riff on the old Patrice O'Neill thing, put the sad music.
Yeah.
Like, slow up a raccoon dog with a pencil sticking out of its face with the fun fact, 2,000 raccoon dogs a year stabbed in the face with pencils. Who's stabbing raccoon dogs in the face with pencils? Sorry. Oh, yeah.
But did you read this article? How loose they're trying to make this, how loose this connection is?
Yes.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we need concrete proof turns into, nah, man, trust me, bruh. I wouldn't lie to you. For real. No cap, son.
Yeah. You know?
First of all, you son. And so that already aged me out right there. But you know what I'm saying? You get the point. Yeah. It is, like I said, this feels like a bunch of scattering fucking like, shit on the ground and being like, okay, get them all and fucking going in circles and wild goose chases and arguing about this shit. And we'll just go ahead and do what the fuck we were going to do anyways. Well, now we just don't have to worry about really watching ourselves because they're occupied.
But
anyone who sees us, we'll call a conspiracy theorist. It works.
And also because it comes from the Atlantic, I feel it's just the left going, no, to the lab leak theory.
Yes.
No, C is a raccoon dog. China says so.
Right, can you even argue that? Did you even know what a raccoon dog was?
Just like China said, nobody was dying from COVID in China in March of 2020.
Doesn't China still have like lockdown COVID protocols in some parts of the country?
I told them, think like 6 months ago. Okay. And I think they
well, I mean, like, I guess it could be said about our country too. I'm sure if you go to certain states that are run by certain political parties, they're definitely like, I just described one. But I mean, I'm sure there's mandates that are still in effect somewhere.
Wasn't the country. White paper protest? Wasn't that the China COVID protest? So whenever that was.
Yes. That was in January.
Oh, this year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. That was like 2 months ago. No shit. Wow. Yeah. Sorry, I've been busy at work.
I mean, this is, I kind of feel like this is the way that the entities and people in power and institutions in power are going to handle shit like this. Like, oh, we fucked up. Let's just scatter the blame so fucking thin across so much fucking territory that there's point to one person who's responsible and we'll do something about it. Go, fuck, I can't do that. You know, so drop it.
I mean, but Phil, we make the joke all the time. It's gonna be like, hey, it's me. I did it. Hey, like, no, like, we're never going to get that. Hey, sorry about that COVID, everybody. Like, what was the kids in the hall? Hey, sorry about AIDS. Oh, it was me. Sorry.
It was the end of December. I'm sorry, I misspoke. But it was the end of December that they waived the lockdowns.
And I kids in the hall, it was sorry about all that cancer. That's right. It wasn't AIDS. My bad. And since it was kids in the hall, it was sorry about all that cancer.
Oh, yes, because, of course, Canadian. It's just really amazing to me that the people that will jump to the defense of, like, you know, not a lab leak, not corporate fuckery, trying to cut corners to make a couple more cents profit. That's no. No. Why? Because our fucking, you know, one of our fucking mascots would have to get his hands dirty, and we can't get Dr. Tony we can't get his hands dirty. We're on a first name basis with him. He's like Dr. Tony and Dr. Drew are our doctors, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that type of mentality. I don't get that. You are supposed to be the fucking enlightened progressive party, and you're simping for corporations the same way you accuse the right of simping for corporations. But because because this one has by the way, Dr. Tony's been there through a whole lot of regime changes. I don't really think, I'm sure he's probably as loyal as his options when it comes to whoever's in charge at the moment and to keep his job. So it's like, I don't even think you're talking about like a lifelong Democrat here. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to cover up for the party. He's just trying to cover up for his own ass. He don't want to get caught with his dick in the wind.
Hey, if you got some time, go to the Google machine. PBS, I think this week or last week, put out some videos of Fauci and somebody from PBS. We're going around to black neighborhoods in D.C. and talking about the vaccine. And guess what? Didn't go so well. There was one gentleman.
There was a clip of that.
There was one gentleman fucking just giving them. It's like talking about this is all a bunch of bullshit. There's no way I'm taking this vaccine when I hadn't been tested on shit. And then, and both people are just trying to talk to him. Even the one lady's trying to be, oh, you're going to protect the communities. I'm trying to protect shit. I'm not taking it. And it was, yeah, it was, that was kind of cool.
Well, I mean, once again, somehow it's like, you know, some people think that, oh, if you go to a white community, you won't, you know, that's how they're going to react. You go to a black community, that's how they react. No, you go to a community where basically the government doesn't do shit, but basically throw fines and lock people up for not paying them. They're not going to trust the government. And why would they trust corporations when corporations don't even give a fuck about their neighborhood? And I mean, like, I'm not talking like the crackhead on the corner either. I'm talking about the motherfuckers who've lived there their entire lives who are like, you know how hard I got to fight to keep my block nice? Fuck the rest of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? That type of mentality.
It's the same. It's a scale, right? It's with the economic scale. You get to a certain level near the top or a certain level near the bottom, the skin colors just go away.
That wouldn't be by design, would it? What's the largest demographic? Supposedly the middle class?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't want them to all fucking unite. That'd give them way too much power, wouldn't it? Hmm. Wow. It's a good thing. That's never happened in the history of ever. So we don't have to worry about it. Go back to bed. Everything's been figured out for you.
And the spirit of Earl, the way we'd really fuck him is if we all stop paying taxes. Like his whole fantasy of just stop going to work. Like, it's not how humans are wired. But if the middle class all withheld their taxes, there'd be a fucking problem. That's how we'd send a message. It'd take a while to arrest all of us.
Well, I mean, the point is that if you have two kids, you've and you're a parent, you've understand, you've been trying, you've had You've had to resist being the attempt of being played by two separate people who do not have your best interests at heart. They just want to cover their own ass. Okay? Especially if they're telling a story about something that happened and they're talking about their versions of it. So I don't understand, like, this is my side. I approach this side. I don't understand that. And I don't understand being loyal to it like it's your family or something. Like, they're people you know. Like, the whole, I'm going back to the Trump thing because in my mind, I'm like, why would you go to a protest and risk all that comes with that for Trump? Do you think Trump would do that for you? Did he do it for any of the protesters in January 6th?
Fuck no, he left.
Yeah, he did. He said, I'm going to meet you there, and then he didn't.
He's like, yeah, I'll see you there. And bounced. We've all done it.
If you remember the story that came out, he was demanding the Secret Service take him there, and he tried to leap through the window and grab the steering wheel.
That's right, yeah. He's going to leap from the back of the, what was his nickname for it? The Beast?
Oh, yeah, Beast.
Yeah. He's going to leap from the back of a limo and grab the wheel, because, yeah, you'd be able to do that quickly.
And, yes, with his supporters. Yeah.
All right, what else is our government and... Daddy Corpo and Mommy Government figured out for us this week?
Conservatives have weaponized the word woke, and now it is a polite way of saying the N-word.
All right, so I want to give some background on this. Do you guys know why woke is now, like, once again dragged back out into the national attention spotlight?
No.
Daddy D?
Okay, no. There was some pundit, conservative pundit, I don't know if she's a YouTube or a Rumble or whatever the fuck, whatever she's on, I don't know her name. I've just seen the clip. It's a heavily edited clip of her being asked, define woke, and her going, oh God, wow. This is going to go viral. And then sure as shit, they can't even tell you what woke is. So that's why there's this focus on the word woke. All right. And of course, now this guy Torrey wasn't, I think he was, I want to say a Rolling Stone journalist. Hold up. I mean, of course it's The Blaze. So it's black activist. It's like, no, dude, he was like a fucking
The Blaze. Isn't that Glenn Beck?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's rather conservative. Like, this dude, I think he was like on MTV or something. Fuses hip hop shopping on the record. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a journalist. Yeah, he's been on. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Well, anyways, he's the one who threw this idea that, yes, using the word woke is now like akin to using like thug. It's dog whistle, code word, whatever, blah, 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 blah. To me, it's real simple. It what is woke? Same thing as political correctness. Same thing as what was it before that? What was what was the hippie slogan? For their utopia, like they had like tune in, turn on, drop out. That was how we're all going to live in utopia. The world's going to be one big hippie commune. Basically, it's ideological bullshit that is akin to believing in like supernatural things. Because basically, I really want it to be true, so I believe it. And that's all you need to say. It's like a cult. That's what woke is. It's just repackaged down the years through the generations. That's all it is. It's not that much more complicated than that. It's a divisive fucking tool used to further drive a wedge between people. But here come the useful idiots, and, well, it's a weaponized word to make a polite way of saying the N-word. And here's the reason why. When Gamergate happened, you guys got to remember, when that came out, what was the term that a lot of the people on the left were using to describe themselves during Gamergate? We're social justice warriors. That term got co-opted and turned around on them to where it became a mocking way to describe them. So they dropped that term. Then they tried to do we're going to do call out culture. I don't know if you remember that, but that started on Twitter, you know, calling out, like, that was like around when Trump announced he was going to run. That was calling out celebrities and shit for old Twitter posts. And that got spun into cancel culture. That got the stink of censorship and authoritarian and all that fucking shit on it. So they dropped that. So they dug up this fucking term woke that, really, I mean, like the beatniks in the 60s were fucking using, and they repackaged it for this generation. The young generation are trying to influence now, and they were like, this is an old Negro spiritual word that we used and blah, 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 and all this shit. And that's all it is. It's all it is. And this is a way to try to make it so you can't criticize the ideology behind the use of that word.
Well, so that one wasn't just a ridiculous thing thrown out like pantry porn. It's strategic.
Well, no. Believe me, in a lot of these people's minds, these are all strategic. This is just like, this is in on page one of the fucking, you know, I'm an activist manual. How to stir the shit pot and not lick the spoon manual type shit. I mean, it's basically like I said, have you guys have heard AAV, right? African American Vernacular English.
Yes.
Ebonics
when we were kids. Jive in the 70s, all the same thing. It's just repackaged, renamed, and then anyone who refers to anything from before, you can just like, ha ha ha, look at them dinosaurs talking about that dumb shit. We're on this new shit. It's the same shit, you stupid fucks.
Well, yes, I speak jive.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I guess before jive would be like what, the beatnik type shit, like the Jack Kerouac type, like the beat writers type shit, the jazz guys. So 40s, 50s, and before that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's all that shit is. It's all repackaged and resold to you constantly. That's why it's like when Trump comes in and fucks up the rotation of the bullshit that we're fed constantly as a society, I'm like, shit just got interesting. Because that wasn't on the menu for this decade. That damn sure wasn't on the menu. But no, I mean, that's I honestly think that's where that's coming from. And you have to remember that this is all coming out of the Marxist idea that the world is nothing but a struggle for power. And when you look at the world as that way, everything becomes a means to an end. The ends justify the means. So you can rationalize away and basically just wallow in moral gray areas. And that's what these people do. Sorry, wrong meeting. I got a little deep on that one.
Well, I remember there were a couple points off this article that just were obscure to me.
Okay.
And I was trying to find them, but I mean, I feel like you pretty much you summarized it well. When did woke stop being, when did it change?
It went from awake to woke, and I would say sometime around Trump, because it was wake up, become aware. You heard these terms and these words, wake up. You heard that phrase a lot. It was usually like, I mean, for anything from the good old fashioned conspiracy theorist to like just your average person who's like, you don't see the shit that the politicians pull, wake the fuck up and pay attention. Seriously, dude. But I mean, it was be aware, awake, and then somehow just all got under the umbrella term of woke. And the problem that the far left and the far right don't understand when they go at each other over these culture wars that suck us all in the middle into the middle of their bullshit, by the way. What they don't understand is when they usually use umbrella terms, they sow the seeds, they plant the seeds of their own fucking demise. Because you're handing your enemy the ability to criticize everything you do under the blanket of that one umbrella term. So the minute someone fucks up, boom, gotcha. It just becomes literally fighting for the sake of fighting. And that's what I try to avoid. And that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like people... Do you argue online? No, because that's fighting for the sake of fighting. I'll debate someone in person. I'll have a conversation with someone on the phone. I'll put someone on this fucking show. If the vote is, let's put them on the show. We've done it before. You can come on and say your piece. Yeah. But I won't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, once again, sorry, wrong meeting.
No, I mean, I wasn't ready for that answer. It has my little conspiracy brain cranking with it.
Well, this isn't conspiracy. This is what's the different forms of Marxism. You got to remember, Marxism gets morphed into whatever the group who's using it, who wants to use it for whatever means, to whatever they need it to morph into. So that's how we got the term like cultural Marxism. Marxism wasn't based in race. Like Marx wasn't obsessed with race. He was obsessed with class. Somehow we've gotten away from that, and we've now turned like these, I'm a cultural Marxist, which was, I'm a trained Marxist, all those comments, like the BLM self-appointed leaders that they were making. Like, you're not talking about the type of Marxism that Marx was talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much to this, and there's so many layers of this shit happening all at the same time. And it's like a giant Venn diagram. Certain circles overlap, certain circles don't, but they move within the same grouping. Am I making any sense, or have I completely lost the fucking trail here? I'm sorry, I don't know how to describe this shit, because these are just concepts that I think of, and I'm just like, doesn't everybody think this way? Obviously, the answer is no.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just hadn't thought of it that way.
Well, I mean, that's what the teachers will, that's what instructors in this stuff will say. That's what these students who, these quote-unquote student activists who go out into the real world and start preaching this, I mean, basically like priest of the wood of religion that they're trying to spread, like a missionary or something. That's what you hear. You just have to. You just have to be paying attention. You just have to. You have to get away from the sensationalist bullshit and the shit that's designed simply to get you upset. And that's hard to do because we've all become addicted to getting upset about the news.
Yes.
You got to. I guess you have to retrain yourself to get upset about shit that actually, I don't know, is worth getting upset about. So I mean, like here's my thing. People want the whole trans thing, because it's just a hot topic. Let's just go with that. Hey, you're 18. You want to fucking put hormones in your body. You want to fucking have surgery. You want to go through whatever the fuck. More power to you, man. Or ma'am, or whoever the fuck. I hope you find what makes you happy. As long as I'm not trying to actively stop an adult from doing something they have a right to do, I'm not obligated to agree with it or like what they're doing. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Where is that perspective in any of this outrage porn that we consume daily? And we consume whether we want to consume it or not. I mean, here in Michigan, you go to pump gas, you're watching some bullshit. I mean, most of them are fucking, I don't know, I don't pump that much of gas because I'm broke. But, I mean, I've seen ones that had news on there and talking about world events. And I'm like, just show me the weed ads for the new dispensary. That's all I want to see. Yeah, I know you can read what's on my phone. What's the last website he accessed? Well, we can't show him an ad for that one, but we can show him one for the dispensary. Okay, show him that. Once again, wrong meeting, sorry. But to me, this is stuff that when people talk about what's going on, I guess it's my bad. I'm assuming that they have some sort of understanding of the groundwork and like where this stuff was birthed from and where it came from and how it's organically and, I mean, engineered to change over the years and decades, centuries in some cases.
Okay, I'm going to quite possibly make myself sound really ignorant, but whenever it came to the term woke, I mainly heard that used in reference up until the past couple years, about white hippie chicks.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of a joke-like?
I took it as serious. I didn't know. Well, so
I can see where it could be taken serious, but like, yeah, that was kind of like, that was the joke before it became turned into like the culture war, before it got co-opted for that. It was like, hey, honey, go, like, there's an internet cartoon. Hey, honey, go check to see if the newborn is awake. And the kid, you know, and the father pokes his head in, and the kid's like, corporations manipulate us to buy products we don't need and spend money on shit that doesn't matter and blah 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 blah. And she's like, nah, baby, this baby's awake and woke as hell. You know, and that was the joke. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like every single, almost like Fight Club, go back to nature thing. That's what woke was slung around as. That was what it was describing. Like real, not crunchy moms, because they're their own thing, but like more crunchy, less mom.
Right. But see, that was my whole understanding of it, and that's why it was so funny to me to see that being turned into what they're calling essentially hand in hand with the N-word. And I'm like, where did we turn? That's why I was asking, and then you started giving an answer about something totally different than what I understood as ever being woke, and I then Googled it, and I found out woke originated in the 1940s, and apparently it's always been something about the racial injustices that I had no idea.
Okay. I mean, like, I'm sure that there's an interpretation somewhere that someone can show some type of receipts that leads back to that. But you have to understand that people like to reframe narratives, like a narrative that got reframed in the nerd fucking, like the nerd sphere, whatever the fuck you would call it. And this is before Disney bought Marvel. In the 2000s, when the X-Men movies started coming out, somehow Professor X and Magneto the head good guy and the head bad guy from those movies, who were white and Magneto was in a concentration camp as a kid, suddenly they became like avatars and stand-ins for Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And that's what they really intended back in the mid-60s when they started drawing them. And I'm like, that no. You know what I'm saying? Don't. But a whole generation of people were like, really? Wow, Marvel's so progressive and forward. And then about 5-6 years ago, I started hearing, well, you know that the X-Men, it's an allegory and for gay. But they couldn't talk about that in the 60s. Really? So it's just anything you need it to be, right? That's what you got to, I'm just going to say, beware of that. Coming from any fucking political side, I don't give a fuck left nor right. I really don't. And if a straight up fence-sitting centrist who you think is on some bullshit tries to hand you a load of bullshit like that, call them on.
Okay.
Be aware of it.
Make sure your people is there to see it.
Yes. Yeah.
There he goes again.
I swear to God, I want to say the asshole's name because he's the farthest thing from black ever, but he just thinks he's hood and gangster. And I'm like, bro, tennis lessons are more hood than you, bro. Like, just fucking go away.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Well, staying on.
We can kind of combine the Florida NCAA. NCAA. We're going to talk some sports here.
Hey, you know, it is a tournament. Yeah,
yeah, I know, right? NAACP, their travel advisory, and the author of White Fragility. It's because it's outside of the two stories, it's kind of the same topic.
Yes. So,
a racist speed round.
Hey. It's always the best kind of speed round, right? The Florida NAACP has moved towards initiating a travel advisory for Florida.
Why?
Because of the thing that DeSantis is not allowing in schools.
Oh, the right AP now. African American Studies?
Yes.
He's not allowing it. He says your curriculum's bullshit, change it, and I'll let you do it. And they did, I believe. And people are mad. And now people are mad that they changed it.
What? I didn't see that.
Yeah, the AP whatever, they changed they bowed to DeSantis's demands, and now people are mad at them for doing it because now apparently he's put his MAGA ideology on AP African American Studies.
See, okay, I completely misread that. I read that as it's because he wouldn't allow the AP studies, or you know, he said change it.
Let me make sure I'm not giving erroneous information.
Man, I'm just skimming this article again, and I'm just like, wow. I could say some shit that really starts some shit, but I'll let you guys go first.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like I threaten some time. Be careful who you threaten. Just saying. Go ahead.
This is from, oh, God, I hate saying this, TMZ, so you know it's actually somewhat reliable, from February 1st. And Wednesday, DeSantis dug in his heels, banning the class from all Florida high schools. And Wednesday, the College Board, which oversees the AP program nationwide, announced several changes to the new course's curriculum, and it appears concessions were made to DeSantis.
Okay.
So, yeah, but yeah, now people are pissed at the College Board for now he's put his mega stink on AP African American Studies, allegedly.
Even though he and Trump are still feuding, but okay, whatever.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah, so basically they're just telling people, black people, not to travel to Florida and not to move to Florida, right? That's the travel advisory they want instilled?
Well, yes. They issued a boycott of South Carolina in 99 over the Confederate flag being flown at the state capitol building. It was lifted 15 years after the flag come down. This is according to ABC News, by the way. However, the ban cost the state nearly two decades of NCAA tournaments, championships, and bowl games. In Indiana, 2015 boycott of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act cost the state more than $60 million as organizers of conferences and other events chose to visit other locations, according to Forbes. Basically, that's what they're trying to do. They're probably, it's a travel advisory, I guess, is what? Is this a nice way of saying boycott now? Because it used to be a travel advisory would be, it's unsafe for you to go to those areas.
Yeah, like they're issuing travel advisories in parts of Mexico right now so you don't get killed.
Yes. So this is, once again, they're using hyperbolic language to stoke the fucking flames of fear and get you fucking fired up. It's a boycott, folks, okay? You're just as safe in Florida today as you were probably 5 years ago. So,
and
also on top of that, who the fuck do you think you're threatening? This ain't South Carolina, bitch.
Yeah, and or Indiana. Like, I could see maybe you can make a case for South Carolina being a tourist destination. Indiana, no, not a tourist destination. Florida, this might not go how you think. People be like, well, yeah, okay, I'm taking my kids to Disney World. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, there's something that like people who don't go to Florida except for the touristy areas don't really realize, and that's Florida has a lot of Latino people living in there. And I mean, it's just like any other fucking area. When you have a lot of people who come from a different fucking country, a different culture than the people who were quote unquote in charge when they got there, slowly over time, it changes. Like, I don't think those communities rely on black tourism to stay afloat, is what I'm saying. You know what I, you see what I'm getting at? Like, and on top of that, like, isn't that kind of, if that state is big of a, has big of a Latin population as they're saying it's going to have in the next 10, 15, 20 years, aren't you really hurting your other people of color ultimately? People of color, by the way, POCs on the come up. So technically, you got up to the next level of life and you're pulling up the ladder behind you, NAACP. That's not very cash money of y'all.
And NAACP, and when we were younger, to me, was a respected organization. And to me, something like this tarnishes them and makes them look dumb and makes them less credible.
Well, they haven't issued the advisory yet. It's just they had a advisory panel suggest, right, that they should issue the advisory.
The committee to decide the committee.
Yeah.
Still waiting on
government the government in action.
Let me tell you something. They're not missing out on any fucking... They're not going to stop holding bowl games in Florida.
No.
They're not going to stop or boycott any fucking Florida college teams from playing in any college sports. And the pro teams could give a fuck less. Okay? Here's the dirty little secret about pro teams. For the most part, they're vanity projects for billionaires. They make enough money if you run it well and properly to keep going and maybe put a little bit in the owner's group pockets, but not enough for corporations to get into ownership of them. They tried and got out very quickly. So you're not gonna appeal to a bunch of vain billionaires to boycott shit. It's not gonna happen. So I mean, I'm almost like, do it. You want to sling? You want to walk around with that much cock swagger? Whip that shit out. I don't know any other way to put it. If you're gonna talk shit, you better use it.
Yeah. Interesting to see what'll happen. Or if anyone would even, like, would anyone take that seriously?
I mean, I think Disney, there are very few things, like, there are very few franchises or intellectual properties or whatever the fuck, however you want to refer to them, that are bulletproof. I think Disney is pretty much bulletproof. They don't just attract tourism from the United States or North America and South America. It's worldwide. Worldwide. And you got to remember, Florida has the flagship Disney World.
Right.
Yeah, California has Disneyland. Everybody else has Disneyland. Disney World is in Florida. There's a reason for that.
Do you realize if you tell a Nigerian family who's trying to come over here for Disney World, oh, there's a travel advisory to Florida for black people, and they go, ooh, why? Are they killing people? No. And then they give them the stupid bullshit platitude reason. They're going to fucking laugh and get on the plane and go, yeah, we're coming to go to Disney World.
I mean, it's a limited experience, but in my experience, and you know, limited and anecdotal, so take it for what it is. But people who are like from a country of the continent in Africa and come over here and automatically get assumed to be American blacks, they sometimes take exception to that. I've been told I'm not black, I'm African. And I'm like, oh, okay, dude. I'm like, you understand that, like, I don't say, like, I'm not white, I'm from Detroit. You know what I'm saying? Like, or I'm from the U.S. You know what I like? I'm not white. I'm North American.
Is that the polite way of him saying, don't lump me in with these N-words?
You take it as you want to. I just pointed out that it's very weird to name yourself, to like identify yourself by the continent your country's on. But I mean, like, maybe he thought I was a dumb American, and I guess I am, because I if he meant something deeper than that, I guess I missed it. But yeah.
Well, do we have anything else on this one?
I mean, not really. And honestly, this is I scanned this article. I really should have looked at it a lot more than I should have. I thought it was like they were trying to do a travel advisory, like, it's dangerous. You're taking your life into your own hands. And I'm like, no, you're not. Go deliver fucking DoorDash in east side of Detroit. That's taking your life in your right. Fuck off with traveling. I'll drive to Florida right now. Let's go, bitch. I got a fucking 6-disc CD changer somewhere. We can hook it up. We can do this shit.
But also, that's kind of like that word manipulation, though. I think anyone who just scans the headlines, which we already know, most people just scan the headlines.
I'm guilty of it. I just admitted to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really standard. And I think that speaks a lot to how that's being framed in people's mind, is that, you know, they're going to see that and they're going to be like, oh, the NAACP is going to say that it's not safe for black people to go to Florida. They shouldn't go to Florida. Oh, my God. So, and then they're not going to open the article and read it. It's the same thing, kind of, or not the same, but it goes into the Florida English professor fired after the parent complained over racial justice lessons. No, he wasn't. He wasn't fired. His contract wasn't renewed. And they said they wouldn't renew his contract until they went over his PowerPoint and his syllabus to make sure that he was not, and the word they used was indoctrinating kids. But that's not the same thing as being fired. He's not following the rules, therefore his contract wasn't renewed, and it was contingent, and if he just did what he was supposed to do, then he could have his contract reviewed, you know?
Okay, here's where you get your chance to shine if my hunch is right. You've probably watched a lot more of like Libs of TikTok or whatever version of that. I don't know if that's even up or if it's got banned or if whatever the fuck, I don't know. But I haven't seen, like, actually watched the fucking, the TikToks or whatever, but I've seen, like, people talking about them in videos and stuff and in news segments about these teachers basically like, yeah, I'm indoctrinating my kids. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And these kids are, like, kindergarten, first grade. They're having them get up and say, I'm non-binary and I'm this and I'm this and I'm this. Or get up and say, yeah, we support, we're communist and blah, 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 and we're this and we're this and we're this. And I'm just like, what the fuck happened in schools? Because when I left, teachers were falling over. You want to know what school was like when I left? We've all seen Donnie Darko, hopefully, right?
Yes.
Okay, Jess, you've seen it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm holding it.
Well, it's set in the late 80s, if I remember correctly. It's set in like 87, I believe, or 86 maybe. All right. But the teacher in there, at one point, Donnie Darko, the main character, is talking to his teacher, and he starts, it's his science teacher, and he's trying to talk about like the physics of hypothetical time travel and this and that, and he kind of steps over into the metaphysical / supernatural, and the teacher goes, I'm going to have to stop having this conversation because anything I say past this point could get me fired. That's how teachers were when I was in school, when I pressed the fucking big issues that I wanted answers from. And this was in a sociology class, psychology class, places where those, like, when I was like, well, wait a minute, what about, we just barely touched on socialism, communism. Why don't we go deeper in it? You want to know about it, you look it up yourself. That was the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck happened where they're so cavalier? They're just walking around just like, yeah, I'm just, the fuck are you going to do about it? You dumbasses, you send your kids to me 5 days a week. Stupid motherfuckers, what are you going to do? Like, it's almost daring you. It's like, ha ha, nana boo boo, I'm doing it. You can't do shit. What the? Am I wrong? Line. Am I wrong, Jess? Like, I've seen the videos, but I don't know if that's like, I've seen the worst of the worst, or if there's a lot of them out there, and a lot is relative, I understand.
No, it's everywhere. I see them all the time. I see them because I have people that send them to me because people like to make me angry. But it happens, I mean, literally all the time, and I've never not one time seen a follow-up story about, and then that teacher lost their job. Like, it's just not there.
I mean, I know one guy who's a teacher. He was teaching when Bernie was running, and he was teaching in high school, and he was actively, like, basically stumping for Bernie in the classroom to anyone who would listen to him who was 18, and, like, telling them, you know, vote Bernie on the way out the door and shit. His words, not mine.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, how do you believe in the separation of church and state? I know this person does. To the point where he doesn't want a public school. Indoctrinating would be the word he would use. Children with religious beliefs and dogma. So why do you get to indoctrinate the children with your political beliefs? Because if you're an agent of the state, you're supposed to be apolitical while acting as an agent of the state. Hence, separation church and state. I'm happy to be proven wrong and correct.
It's in the sentence.
As far as my understanding, what I said is factual just now.
Yep.
So, but I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And the other teachers I've known, they've not spoken to me as candidly about their experiences. One of them was a very conservative person compared to most people in that profession. I can say that from my personal experience with them. And he didn't last long in the profession. So,
sorry, you're not allowed to be honest.
On our final racist speed round topic, the author of White Fragility says people of color need to get away from white people.
Like Scott Adams said, but in reverse?
Yeah.
And by the way, I guess the context of Scott Adams, I don't know if this is, I haven't seen the full interview. This is the defense I've seen online, is apparently he was saying, oh, well, if people are going to be able to commit acts of violence against other groups based solely on their ethnicity and the state won't step in or agents of the state won't step in to protect or prosecute people who do commit these crimes, then why then get the fuck away from black people. And kind of essentially what Robin DiAngelo is getting at here. People of color need to get away from white people and have some community with each other. Okay, I get that. But why is that okay for people of color? And by the way, once again, notice that term sets white people diametrically opposed to everybody else. People of color, and then there's white people.
Right.
There's us, and then them. Notice, just come on, man. Come on. The minute I saw that, I was like, yep. Mm-hmm. Orwell was a how-to manual to these motherfuckers.
Yep.
But yeah, her willingness to... DeAngelo said white people are uncomfortable with anti-racist social justice initiatives. She said willingness to engage in anti-racism training and conversations should be a basic qualification for employment, and that more changes should be implemented in the workplace. In current year, we have to see the ability to engage in these conversations with some nuance and some skill as a basic qualification, said DeAngelo. And if you can't do that, you're simply not qualified in today's workplace. Even if she's trying to, like, she's going to extremes to try to make a point, whatever. But, like, I know that there's people that actually feel this way. And you know how far I got to drive to prove it? To the fucking 8-mile limit of the city limit of Detroit.
Yeah.
There's people that feel this way. People choose to live in the city of Detroit, right on the edge of the suburbs, but they won't move across the street to the suburbs. It's not always because of money. Sometimes I don't want to live a bunch of white motherfuckers. I've heard that. That's anybody who grew up in near the hood has heard that. That's not even fucking like nobody's shocked by that except for middle class white motherfuckers who've never fucking been in any of the neighborhoods I'm talking about. And those are the people that are spouting this bullshit. But here's an academic going, that's right, let's go back to segregation. Are we turning back the clock that fucking, really? We're going back to the fucking late 50s, early 60s with this shit?
I mean, if you remember, they started doing it with fucking, what's its nuts? Harvard, right? I mean, we were joking about it like before we were even podcasting. Harvard started doing the fucking separate graduation ceremonies for people of color. It's like, if you did this fucking 60 years ago, that was not good. Now we're doing it on purpose.
I mean, I don't know how many times I can say it. Like, I don't believe everybody, like, in these academic circles who come up with a lot of this shit, I don't believe their intentions are fucking like they're malignant. You know what I'm saying? They're not trying to be like a cancer to society. They're just being like, I don't know. It kind of seems like this is the logical way to handle this. But it's like, this is not progressive. And your whole title, I don't care if you call yourselves woke or you call yourselves progressive. The point is you want to progress society forward. That's literally, we are taking decades worth of steps backwards in this thinking. And it just blows my mind because I think more people are comfortable with it than they want to admit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just like, I never thought of it this way. I heard it put this way. America is the great experiment. And I always thought we were the great experiment because of just the very nature of how we came to be America, manifest destiny, spreading out westward, et cetera, et cetera. Not necessarily simply because of American exceptionalism, but just because, you know, there's really been no country that's came to world power like us before. But no, apparently the American experiment is multiculturalism. And so I've been walking around saying, I feel like the American experiment has failed because we fucking petered out and actually like started regressing. And people are like, no, that's racist to say that.
What isn't?
And immediately, here's the thing. That's the end of the conversation. I think that's what we excel in. And that's what these academics, they excel in the got you conversation ender moments. The big fucking wham, mic drop moments. Gotcha. You ain't got shit to say about that. And it's like, yeah, okay, but if you can back that up with facts, more power to you. Like, once again, you got it like that. Whip it out, baby. But if you're just coming with a strongly fucking stated and well-worded opinion, that's no. That's not a fact.
I mean,
once again,
it's a nice opinion, but yeah, stating something, yeah, eloquently doesn't make it, being sure of yourself doesn't make something a fact.
I mean, it goes back to, Jim Garrison, who was the only, up until the late 60s at least, up until the point in the late 60s that he did prosecute, the only person to bring up charges against anybody on the JFK assassination. And one of his famous quotes was, I never understood why in a court of law, a hooker has to have bad eyesight. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a nun sees a crime, okay, her words, it's impeccable, it's above reproach, you can't question it. If a hooker sees it and tells the exact same story, well, that we can discredit it because... why? She didn't see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't throw the fucking... take into consideration the entire situation, not just, oh, this is my first chance to easily dismiss this. That's what these people are doing with this shit. This is just... that's what I'm saying. Like, if you notice, Scott Adams make the statement that he did and basically was responding to a hypothetical situation. Hold on, I'll give you his exact quote because it's in here. Based on the current way things are going, the best advice I give white people is to get the hell away from black people. Adam sent a video. Adams was reacting to a Rasmussen poll that found that 26% of black respondents believed it was either not okay to be white, and 21 were not sure if it was okay to be white.
Yeah.
Are you fucking... That's a quarter of fucking people polled are like, I don't know if white people are okay with just existing.
Surely that's not how they meant it. Maybe they just meant like not to be a white apologist.
But once again, white people have no culture. White people appropriate everything. White people steal everything. White people stop being white. What is white? Because not even 10 years ago, but like when we were originally, like the first couple of years we were doing these podcasts, they were saying that the idea of whiteness and race itself was a social construct, and on a biological level, it was as irrelevant as eye color to the intelligence or capability of a person.
Not anymore, buddy.
Isn't that amazing how quickly we backed out of that shit? And that was NPR pushing that shit. I'll never fucking forget that. I came in and brought that up on the show, and it, whatever. Anyways, but yeah, Oh, and I mean, like, this is the thing, like, I know that there's white people out there that are like, I don't think it's all right to be black. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, what would you like them to change into that's more comfortable for you? I mean, that's the reaction to, I would think, like, that is the vast majority of reaction people would have, or worse, to someone who said, I don't think it's okay to be black. Because believe me, no one would be like, maybe that's not what they were trying to say, is that black people shouldn't exist. Everyone would assume that's exactly what he would. Congratulations, folks, it's the world you created.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God, I'm realizing that, like, talking about just everything, the it's not okay to be white, the it's racist to have a organized and clean pantry, it's if Florida is telling
suggesting to the next advisory, to the next advisory, to put in a travel warning.
This is such a tired topic, and I don't even want to fight it anymore, which is scary, because it's like, they won. Like, I'm okay, yeah, I'm a white piece of shit. Got it. Cool.
I kind of feel that's how the suburbs of Detroit and the city of Detroit, after the riots in the late 60s, yeah, I kind of feel it's like, okay, well, we're just going to be white pieces of shit here in the suburbs for the most part, and y'all go ahead and be whatever the fuck y'all want to be, black and proud and all that shit in the city. And that's the way for the most, I mean, Chris, am I wrong? Outside of like the gentrified parts of Detroit, that's pretty much how Detroit has been since the late 60s, right?
Yeah, I mean, I believe it was, okay, have fun with that. We're going to be over here liking who we live next to.
Now here's the deal. And I've been saying this for a long time, and I was not the first to say it. I just listened to people who I considered to be wiser and more intelligent than me on the subject. But when the white people, when white flight, as they call it out here, happened and people left for the suburbs, most of the money left the city of Detroit. However, Detroit and the suburbs have a symbiotic relationship. Detroit was affected most immediately because there was a vacuum created by all that money leaving in lack of tax base. The suburbs were able to flourish because, oh shit, we used to be farmland. Now we got a bunch of fucking people with disposable income coming out their ass, moving in and building the shit. Eventually, that was, if the suburbs and the city treated each other as an adversarial relationship instead of the symbiotic relationship that they do have in reality, eventually both would fail. And we're kind of in like the end stages of the middle part and the beginning of the failure part of the suburbs. Because every 10 years, it's not just Detroit's population that plummets. It's the suburbs population going down too. And it's not even necessarily the state. It's people moving out of Southeast Michigan. It's just,
well, it's true, and they just expand more, too. I mean, like, it's shit gets older.
There's that. I mean, eventually, 200 years, I wouldn't be surprised if between here and Lansing was just one fucking paved-over city, you know what I'm saying, with parks here and there. And you know, I mean, it's almost that right now if you take away, like, you know, certain chunks of fucking area between here and Lansing. So,
yeah, you know, or Flint.
But, I mean, that's the reality of this whole, well, we're just going to take our ball and go home, and we're going to go sit over on our side of the neighborhood, and you sit on your side of the neighborhood. That's not how this shit is built to work, and it's not how it did work. As unequal and unequitable and all the other fucking ways they want to reshape and reform language to fit their agenda, for whatever that word is that they're using today, it was a system that was set up, and it ran. What are you trying to replace it with? Because I haven't heard anything but, well, gee, we really wish the world was fair. Wish in one hand, shit in the other. See which one fills up first. My dad used to say that all the time.
Hey, same.
So, I mean, that's not a plan. You know, a dream without a plan is a wish. I mean, I'm sure that's on some, like, inspirational fucking something somewhere.
It's hanging in an office somewhere right now.
I first heard fucking Herm Edwards say it when he was talking to NFL rookies. And he's like, what are you going to do when football's done with you? What's your plan? Well, I want to. Okay, that's a dream. Do you have a plan? No. Then you wishing, my brother. And I was like, damn. Herm Edwards got me pumped up. I was like, yeah. All right, I'm over it. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm apathetic again. Great. But yeah, no, it made sense. Like, okay, yeah, you can. Oh, this and this and this. How are you going to do it? No idea. What good is that? Anyways.
Oh, Herm. Yeah,
play to win the game. Hello. Well, is there anything else?
Yes, we have one more. Sorry, I was talking and I was muted and I didn't realize I was. Oh. We have one more very important topic, and it's corn cob crust.
This is fake.
Are we sure?
Yes, I know what things cost. It says it comes with a 2 liter of liquefied butter.
Butter? That's a dead.
Is this a $50 pizza?
Come on. It could be.
Yeah, no. Come on.
Listen.
I was in that industry too long.
That would sell in the South. That could be their moneymaker.
And think it. Rich and I both worked in the kitchen. The logistical nightmare of making that in mass. No fucking way is that real.
Okay, let me tell you something. I worked at a couple pizza places that weren't set up to do off the menu, or like it wasn't on the menu to do stuffed crust pizza. So we didn't have the setup that like Pizza Hut does. I know how Pizza Hut does their stuff, Crust, because I worked for them like 25 years ago. So we improvised. And that was a pain in the ass. And there was a few like culinary abortions coming out of the end of that oven. We were like, oh my God, kill it, kill it. It's breathing and meowing at us. Kill it. Like, it was horrifying. So, yeah, there's no fucking way. People think pizza is just like this miracle food you can do anything with. No, is that how this shit works?
With a plan.
No, to make it look good, you gotta be. It takes practice.
We've talked about this. None of my food looks good. I don't judge it by that.
Listen, I understand. I get it. But I mean, it took I think the third or fourth try, we got the right amount of cheese, the right way to fold over the crust and seal it, and then add the sauce, cheese, toppings, and bake it and do like our version of a stuffed crust without the crust exploding and the cheese going all over the place.
Well, the key is a cheese stick.
Exactly. We didn't have those. So we were using, at first they were just taking pinches of shredded cheese and putting it on there and trying to roll it. And I was like, no, 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 take it between your hands and kind of roll it into a cheese stick, like a homemade one, and kind of lay it like that around the edge and then wrap the crust around. We are really in the weeds. Nobody gives a fuck. But, you know, maybe we have a huge pizza-making fucking listening shit.
Well, I mean, I shared that with you guys, and it made me think that last week, that Hidden Valley Ranch ice cream, maybe that's Walmart trying to scoop everybody on April Fool's and hitting us up around St. Patrick's Day for it.
I can't do that. I can't. Jess, you're going to have a talk at the next meeting with your generation. I can't do this bullshit. I can't start celebrating April Fool's 2 weeks a month early. That is retarded. That is stupid. That takes away the point of April Fool's Day.
I am a purist whenever it comes to, you have Halloween and then you have Thanksgiving and then you have Christmas that starts after Thanksgiving. Like, I am a purist on this. I have been screaming it from the rooftops as long as I can. I get mad every year whenever I walk into Costco in August and Christmas decorations are out. I am with you on the anger. They don't listen to me at the meetings. I think I'm banned.
Okay. Because, yeah, I am. Yeah. If this is a fucking early, this is an early attempt at April Fool's, it's just like, wow, have we gotten that lazy? All you have to do, you have one job if you're trying to post an April Fool's prank, to post it one day out of 365. That's it. It's not that hard of a job.
Yep.
Like, I think it's Little Caesars also throwing shade at Pizza Hut. Remember when they had the fucking hot dogs on the pizza?
That was the... Okay. Someone talked to... When we were doing the homemade stuff, Crossman was like, hey, let's make a fucking Coney dog pizza. And we did. But we cut up the dogs, and then we put them on top like slices of pepperoni, just real thick, right? Then someone was like, let's make a stuffed crust. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, fuck y'all. I'm out. Done. Y'all create this Frankenstein's monster. I'm not responsible for what happens. Because, yes, that was absolutely ridiculous, and I have no idea how they even did that. Wasn't it like basically pizza hot dog bites?
Yeah, it was like bun? Pizza with little pigs in a blanket on it, essentially around the crust is what it was. It's fucking stupid, and I'm glad I never had to make it.
Yeah, I saw them like once or twice. I never saw one in person, and I damn sure never ate one.
Now, I will tell you, there's a bar around here. My buddy owns it. Ooh, they make a whole bunch of crazy specialty pizzas, and one of them is their Coney pizza, and it's so good. It's there's no tomato sauce on it. They do the chili sauce. They do hot dog.
No beans.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. It's the Coney sauce. It's no beans. Yep. They do the cut up hot dogs. Obviously, they do onions, and they garnish it with mustard, and it is so good as fuck. Like, it is. It is good. It's like eating open face Coney on a piece of deep dish dough. It's good.
Yeah, we did.
My stoner ass would not steer you wrong. They got chicken shawarma pizza. It's delicious.
Wait a minute, what,
dude? It's good. As
wait, hold on. You can run the garlic sauce through the oven.
Yeah, it's under the cheese, buddy.
Yeah, but is that garlic? We gotta talk later. Okay. Anyways, sorry. Yeah. Because like that just you okay. At first, you had my curiosity. Now you have my interest.
Yeah.
The chicken shawarma pizza? Oh, yeah. I'm totally on the...
I mean, it's...
I want to defect to Lebanon just to fucking eat the real food over there now.
Right.
Like, you don't even... I'm over there, like, afraid to order shit because I don't know how to pronounce it. That's how deep in the weeds I'm starting to try to get off. But I do love the chicken shawarma. It's easy. It's cheap. It's good.
Rich's trying to get put on a list just getting dinner. Hey, what were you doing talking to those guys? I'm just trying to get shawarma, man. I heard it's good.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, when they start, yeah, at the local fucking Lebanese place, when it's like, my brother, welcome. Like, no brother. No. I might need to fly at some point. I have some elderly fucking people in my family. They might die.
No, please, when your place gets tossed, I don't want my name coming up.
The fat white man. That just described half of this area, sir.
Yeah. Half. Most.
Well. Yeah. Oh God! All right, so yeah, I mean, but let's go full wacky morning show here on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for listening. Appreciate that. All right, let's send it over to our weather girl.
Hey
Jess. So, what's the wackiest thing you've ever seen at a pizza place?
Oh well, like on the pizza.
On the floor. What the?
I'm tired. It's like, shut up.
I saw some guy fucking a bitch in a booth.
Damn, they get wild in Tennessee, man. They're down there not bullshitting. Fuck, I thought that was only at the Waffle House.
No, we don't talk about that. So I don't know anything about if this is a national brand, but we have CC's Pizza. Y'all ever heard of that?
The buffet pizza place?
Terrible ass, thin ass pizza, yes.
That makes Little Caesars look like gourmet pizza?
Yes.
So they do like macaroni and cheese pizzas.
Okay, I've seen these at the more soul food pizza places, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't like mac and cheese that much, man.
Yeah, I think that would have to be the weirdest one. I tried it.
Yeah, topping starch with starch doesn't like really, like, you know, they don't put like potatoes on pizza. You know, same kind of deal.
Well, and it's CeCe's Pizza. So that means it's sitting under the warmer all day. So you bite into if it's not a fresh one, then it's going to crisp. Like those noodles do not have a good life outside of.
I've had the mac and cheese pizza. I would advise them to use spirals. But I was also I remember feeling highly disappointed. Like, I was like, you know, in theory, you know, I'll try anything once. It's pizza. You know, it was my livelihood for quite some time. But I remember going like, man, it was like Sonic. Like, oh yeah, Sonic's here. And then you had it and you're like, oh. So I felt about mac and cheese pizza.
Yeah, same.
Mac and cheese pizza, yeah. And then ate it. Oh.
We did, at one place I worked, we made a sausage biscuits and gravy pizza with
I'm listening
with scrambled eggs. Like we did the scrambled eggs and we used that as the sauce, kind of put it on the pizza, put the cheese on, put bacon, the sausage, the gravy, gravy then cheese, baked it. It was really good, but I'm gonna tell you what, messy as fuck. I don't know how you eat it without utensils and a plate, and right there I have a hard time calling that a slice of pizza. You know what I'm saying? If you need a plate and a fork and a knife, don't let them see you do that in New York. I don't care what's on that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that will, oof. Like, I'm not joking. You might get a crazy homeless person that'd be willing to fight you over that.
Like, if you ever go to Chicago's and you go to Giordano's, fuck, you better be eating that shit with your hands. People look at like, okay, someone's not from here. Like, your hands better be red and greasy when you're done eating that shit.
But, yeah, it was an absolute nightmare to eat. It was a pain in the ass to clean up. I took a big baking pan and put it under the pizza screen because I was like, no, I can see this is going to be a motherfucking nightmare if this goes wrong. I'm like, I'd rather just wash off one big bacon pan or bacon sheet. But yeah, that's probably the weirdest thing I've seen. I don't know. Calamari? Is that weird on pizza? I mean, I feel like if you go to a Greek area, they probably have calamari under pizza, and that's like not that weird, right?
I mean, I did a tour with Cottage Inn in my 20s, so I've seen all kinds of crazy pizzas. Like, I seen Southwest Chicken Pizza before people, like 10 years before people started going, hey, Southwest Chicken Pizza. You know, like Cottage Inn was, you know, substituting other sauces for pizza sauce like fucking 20 fucking years ago.
Well, that's the one thing. There's a chain called Marco's. I don't know if they're regional or national or they're trying to go national, whatever the fuck their situation is. But
we have Marco's.
Okay.
They're regional, trying to go national, trying to become a player.
They have like almost a standard if you go to order online. Most pizza places default to, you know, the pizza sauce. The only question they ask you about the pizza sauce is, do you want light or heavy? If you want to do something else for a pizza sauce, usually you have to like put it under a special request and hope that they actually read that shit. Not Marco's. Marco's has like this white garlic sauce. It's not like the Yeah, buddy. And that's what I get on pizza now, because especially with my heartburn, that tomato sauce, their tomato sauce is good, but it kills me, man.
Oh, you get that white garlic sauce, you get it with like some chicken, some onions, and some bacon. You're welcome, everybody.
So, yeah, I'm convinced. And this was for years, I heard people like calling the pizza places I work, do you have white sauce? And I'm like, am I being trolled right now? Yeah, I got white sauce fresh from the tap. Come get it.
Yeah, I'm going to go make it for you.
Yeah.
Give me a couple minutes. It'll be nice and warm.
98.6 degrees right from the tap. Don't worry about it.
How are you with catching?
You mean the pizza oven, right?
Sure.
Sure.
That's the nickname for it today. We'll call it the pizza oven. Oh, that's two. That's two. All right, actually, that'd be a better name for your general area. The pizza oven.
Jess. Yeah. It is. It is very, very hot here. It's going to be in the 80s tomorrow.
Right over her head. Right. It's all right.
Nope. Did I? Sorry. Again, late. I couldn't think of words. Okay. It's wow. Late.
I'm going to have to listen back because.
Trying to say it's a good nickname for your vagina. All right. So trying to drop all nuance in the humor is gone.
I thought you were talking. Listen, it's we talk weather. Okay.
I didn't even hear the comment. I'm like, I was coughing, and so I muted you guys. I muted myself and finished my coughing fit, and I come back, and I hear, wow, okay, went over your head. I'm going, I didn't even hear it. I want shit to go over my head. What'd you say?
The pizza oven would be a good name for Jess's lady area.
You didn't say lady area. You said my area, and I'm over your here.
General area. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's true. That could mean like yeah, where you're at. I don't know. I was too polite. That's on me. I'll be more vulgar next time in referring to your vag.
Thank you. Is that too much for a lady to ask for? Shit.
What did Elliot call it?
Oh, fuck. Oh yeah, damn. Shit. God, we should know this. We call ourselves scrub fans. We are terrible scrub fans.
Bajingo.
Bajingo, yes. Bajingo.
Why does it look so sad?
They all do.
Oh God. All right. We've gotten to the we're quoting scrubs. We are serious.
Oh, but movie. But Jess, we've crossed into vagina jokes, you know?
Oh, no.
We're growing.
This is not becoming a thing.
2023, equal equity.
I just want to say this.
Humor, equity, family, humor.
If any families listening, I did not open the door, nor did I hold the door, nor did I lay it down a welcome mat to Jess's vagina being joked about or talked about. Okay? So, this was not me. Do not put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I swear to God, I will hunt you down at the next family funeral because it's the only time we get together.
I thought about it today, and I think that I've been on here right at a year now. I think I've passed my year mark.
Go club.
But I'm just saying, like, that is that what comes at the two-year club? So now vagina jokes are in play after the one-year marker. So what do we go to at 2 years? Or is it a surprise?
Anal. I don't know. It's...
Got it.
No, I think honestly, it's pretty much it. Like, because we don't get personal. Like, we've had co-hosts who had significant others. No one brought them up. I mean, outside of like, you know, if you're telling the story and it's important to stress that your girlfriend was there for part of the story or your wife or your kid. Yeah, in that general way. So, yeah, you're pretty much safe once. Guys just want to be able to say whatever the fucking wild ass shit comes to mind to other dudes and not have shit get weird. And it only gets weird when chicks are around, when chicks get weird about it. As long as like chicks are cool about it and they understand, like, we're not hitting on you. Believe me, motherfucker starts hitting on you, you're probably going, no. It's not your first rodeo, I'm guessing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
I'm not going to get weird about it. It was just a joke.
Well, no. I feel you're making
it weird now, Rich.
See? Maybe that's the genius part of this bit.
Aha. The nuance is back.
I'm getting my inner Andy Kaufman on right now, and you're fucking with my vibe, man. Once again.
We're going to have to wrestle when I come upstairs.
Cash money at you. We need to stop this behavior.
You're going to have to wrestle when I come upstairs.
This black on black crime must stop. Priest of peace. Hands up. Don't shoot. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're getting goofy. So, go to the social media.
1201. Our carriage has turned into a pumpkin. It's yeah. official.
So go to whatever social media platform you follow us on, and then the big two were at, I almost gave out the wrong one, at Gen Exhausted Pod, and ChristopherMedia.net is where you can hit the PayPal button and help us out with a little bit of commerce if you so choose. It's your choice. Don't force it on you. And wherever you listen to us, if you have the ability to rate and review us, we would appreciate it because it helps other people find the shows. We're on all the big platforms, the Spotify's, the Apple's, the whatever mode Google's going to end up using. Our RSS feed is there. And yeah, just I look up every now and then what we're coming across on. I'm like, no shit, huh? We're on that. I don't recall registering us for that, but it's good. We've been around for a while. We're in a lot of places. So if you can rate us and review us, appreciate it. Please and thank you. Appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you next week.
All right, later, guys.
See ya.
This is a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, O, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Flyer than a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, Ho, O, not D-O-C, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect us. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. This ain't a movie, dog.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Thing ain't lie. I done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on. I'm complex. I never claim to have wings on. Nigga, I get my by any means on. Whenever there's a drought, get your umbrellas out, because that's when I brainstorm. You can blame Sean, but I ain't inventing the game. I just rolled the dice trying to get some change. And I do it twice, ain't no sense to me lying as if I am a different man. And I could blame my environment, but ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers. Niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still a vibe is in my vein. I got a hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hat, yo, peep the way I wear it. Check out my swag, yo, I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone.
Now, back to our regular scheduled program. L'Album Noir, the Black Album.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.